This is PFW in Progress.
The best undiscovered female voices will sing on this stage tonight with one definite goal: to win your vote. You decide their destiny. You make the call. The competition is on. Let's go. This is
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
I like that, Fred.
I think it was a complete and utter mess. It didn't work. It was all over the place. You were forgetting your words. It just didn't work.
Lightly.
I really, really, really hated that. Sorry.
Paul Perillo.
Are you drunk?
No, not at all.
I thought it was ridiculous.
And Andy. And Andy?
Last week you indicated that you are on a different page.
Let's just redefine that as correct page.
Andy Hart.
No, being serious, I watched the show back, and I have to say, if I was giving myself marks out of 10, I'd give myself a 10.
Some guy named Tom.
The reality is, it is actually more than just singing. It is about personality. It's about the right choice of song. You can't come up on a stage like tonight and be in your own world and hope that you're going to interest the American audience, because they're going to forget that performance three performances later. So not your best night by a mile.
And you never know, Rory might stop by.
You are cute. You're likable.
Hey.
I think America, if they haven't already, are going to fall in love with you.
PFW in Progress.
There's nothing much you can do.
And there were parts during the performance where it was actually painful. It didn't work. You can't keep doing this week after week after week. Sorry.
Fred, you know, I'm planning this party for Idol tonight. I'm wondering if I can leave work early today because, you know, I got to get the food ready and everything like that.
No.
No?
No.
You're not going to be watching Idol?
In fact, we're not even going to discuss Idol right now because no one cares, including me.
I think a lot of people care.
I think you're the only one who doesn't.
We're not going to discuss it. You're right. Because
of course we are. We'll discuss it for later on. 5 minutes.
PFW in Progress. And welcome to the show, as always, Wednesdays at noon, and we'll be here until 2 o'clock. Fred Kirsch, Andy Hart, Tom Casale, Paul Perillo, Gary Gradecki.
Got the band back together, Fred.
We're all together.
A couple
never
of
know,
weeks.
Lori might stop we by got, and got talk some Dick Hardwick.
We got some emails, you know.
You got to start right off the
comparing, you know, Paul and Andy's show.
You
know,
do join Dick for a little while.
Which is the...
You hear what your cheerleaders are saying?
The Poopy Tinkle Show.
The Poopy Tinkle
as
Show.
As compared to Tom's... In my show, which
listen,
is football.
Listen right. to what she said.
Yeah, she mentioned a man's name.
You do join Dick for a little while.
She joins Dick for a little while.
Okay, well.
I can't wait to hear those emails.
We're not gonna get into that. But anyway, welcome
I already
to the
read
show.
Them, so I'm looking forward to them as well.
The email is webradio@patriots.com if you want to join in. We've got several already. A lot of topics up for discussion. Last week, Tom and I were talking about retired numbers and philosophy in football about retiring numbers and whether you should or shouldn't.
Hey,
so we got some emails on that.
For me, I'd like to look at it as
and,
moving
and
on in my life.
Doug Flutie is still,
talking. Is he still going?
He's still going.
To approach it
he's still
along
going. I think he's up to his
I'm planning on
his
job
return. No, his return to the NFL.
Oh, wow.
I really
thought he was
forward.
Up to commencement at D.C.
No, because last week he got up to the Canadian League.
Yeah.
I wanted to hear, you know, that are you retiring thing.
So Doug is still retiring.
Tune in next week for Doug Flutie, the USFL years.
Right. But... Ty Law, still out there. We've got a couple emails about whether or not he might be here.
What's up, Bill? How you doing?
You know, I think I don't rule it out. I give it a 50-50 chance right now. That's the odds I give it right now. What about you guys?
From what I'm told, there is genuine interest on the part of the Patriots.
Sure. Why wouldn't there be?
But, I mean, it's not just, you know, well, you know, we explore all opportunities. They're genuinely interested in hearing what Ty has to say and seeing if they can work something out.
Well, we know what he has to say. Gary's playing free cell again.
Yo, what's up, dude?
This is Ty Law. Welcome to Miami.
I heard that the Chiefs have pretty much stated to him what they're willing to pay him.
Okay.
And if he's willing to accept that, they're all for it. So it looks like the Chiefs have at least put some numbers together for him.
Okay.
And he's probably looking at the Patriots now to see what's the best fit, how much difference there's going to be in the money. So I believe it's coming down to those two teams, the Chiefs and the Patriots.
Okay. Yeah. Titans are out of it.
Well, I think the Titans are just exploring it you know, as part of being a diligent organization.
Yeah.
You know, when you're a good team, you look at all possibilities. I just don't think they have the cap room based on what I've been reading about
Tennessee's
situation.
Once they release McNair, they're going to have
plenty of room.
Yeah, 9-point-something extra cap room.
Yeah, but, you know, extra cap room?
Well, who's their quarterback right now once they release McNair?
Vince Young.
Well, Bolick will start the season.
Yeah, so they're going to have to sign another quarterback, probably.
Well,
another veteran? No.
Volek will be the starter.
Volek is their starter, and Vince Young.
But if Volek goes down, what happens?
Vince Young would.
Vince Young gets
even with the Patriots. You got Tom Brady to start. You got Matt Castle. But we're even still talking about
the Patriots are a championship contender team. I don't think the Titans are there yet, and it'll just
the problem.
Quick in the process.
That's a good point. That's fair.
You mentioned Matt Castle. So what? He's played one game in 10 years. That's your backup.
Well, Vince Young hasn't played any.
So what?
But we're
talking about championship contending.
I said that's fair, Tom.
Look, there's nobody, but there's nobody that's
guy has
a
nothing
sure
to
thing.
Say, and he's biting your head off.
There's nobody that's a sure thing here. But
well,
can we all agree that Vince Young's college resume, slightly, exceeds Matt Castle's?
Yeah, sure.
Let's
face it.
It doesn't mean that Vince Young is going to be a good player or even.
No, my college resume exceeds Matt Castle.
But you have to admit this.
There's a difference between the third pick of the draft and a seventh round pick who didn't even play in college being your backup.
Let's put it this way, though.
The bigger difference is the teams.
If the Titans have any chance of winning this year and Billy Volek goes down, those chances go out the window because Vince Young isn't going to be that good right away.
And I'm sure they don't want to just throw him out there day one.
Right.
But if things change and the season kind of goes down the tubes, you throw them out there
then
and boom.
You throw them out. Then you throw them
There's
out.
No pressure. Get your
experience. I think even if Volek doesn't go down and things go bad, you put them out there.
Right.
You know?
I mean, I think their ideal situation would be to stick with Volek for a little while. And
let's face it, that's not a very good team right now.
Welcome to Titans Weekly.
Whether Volek is healthy or not.
Well, the one thing about that, which is weird, is that last year teams were actually trying to trade for Volek.
I know.
And the Titans wanted none of it.
Well,
and now
they knew what was coming, I guess.
And so, but the thing I'm wondering is if they see him as just purely as a great backup because they don't seem to be too comfortable with him being their starter.
And didn't the Jets make a good push for him?
Yeah, a couple teams did. And they really wanted to hang on to him. So apparently they view him as one of those great backup types that they just want on their team, but not a starter who's going to take them to the Super Bowl.
Okay. Other things, topics on the table, the owners' meetings.
The Ty Law situation.
Yes,
because I had heard the same thing that Tom heard about Kansas City. You know, and Herm Edwards, I think that he and Law have a pretty good relationship from their year together last year. I think there's some mutual respect there. But I heard the stuff about money, and I didn't see any figures. Tom, did you see any actual numbers?
No, I don't know what the numbers were.
I don't either.
I'm sure the Postons are going to be very careful this time not to release those.
And I'm also wondering about, I would say the longer, I mean, for example, if they gave him an offer Monday, you know, the longer it goes that Ty Law doesn't sign, I'd say the less attractive the offer was. Because we know what Ty Law is about.
One thing we know is the offer wasn't $10 million up front and $7 million a year.
That's my point.
Because it'd be a chief right now.
You know, and I think if it was an overly attractive offer, I think Ty Law would have signed it because he knows, knowing that he's not going to get it from the Patriots.
The one thing I did hear was that it was
definitely
not $7 million a year, that the Chiefs will not pay that.
Right.
So,
and that would be consistent to what Herm Edwards has been quoted. There's been several stories in Kansas City papers with Herm Edwards talking
years with no bonus. Would you guaranteed $7 million a year, period.
$7 million for next year?
What else?
That's it. It's just a one-year deal.
Yeah, I'd do that.
I would
$7
million. I'd do it. I like mercenaries. I like
that's the you're getting the TO contract. You're getting they gave TO pretty much $10 million for 1 year, and then if he's okay, it'll extend. But I think that would be similar. Would you give a star
you're guaranteeing
1 year contract?
It?
Yeah, I mean it's guaranteed.
I'll give him $7 million guaranteed, especially for this team where I think that's
no
a
problem.
Hole that he fills nicely in it. The whole domino effect we've discussed in the past.
I would do it.
Okay.
I would do it. There's no long-term ramifications. Yeah. You're going to have him for a year anyway, so you
got
whatever
money
his cap number, big deal.
Yeah, okay.
Do it.
Would you do it if you're Ty Law?
No.
Well, I would do that as a last resort if I was Ty Law.
Right. And if the Chiefs are offering me a four-year deal that's really only $2 million a year, and I can get $7 million in 1 year in New England, then I'm getting my $7 million, and then I'll sign next year for a $5 million 1 year or whatever.
It's funny because that deal that he turned down that everybody roundly criticized him for, he could end up making that money on just what Fred just said, you know, with these year-to-year contracts, not the way that anybody would have wanted to do it right. in a player situation, because there's no guarantees, there's no security. He's not going to ever get that big, you know, double-digit bonus that he probably was looking for at the time. But year-to-year, I mean, right. he ended up making a pretty good chunk of change last year with all the incentives that he hit. And now, like, if something like Fred just said, he gets like a one-year $7 million offer, you know, all of a sudden he's halfway there after two years.
Well, it's just like we always talk about with the franchise tag. It's worked for a number of people.
Right.
What was it, Walter Jones 3 years in
Walter
a row
Jones
at $9 million or $8 million?
No doubt about that.
Well, that's $24 million. That's a huge signing bonus.
As long as you put half of it away every year, you're set. You're all set, you know, if you can manage your money.
Well, I mean,
it's a whole different argument.
Yeah, all of these guys should be able to live. I mean, you know, you have to be pretty foolish with your money not to be able. I know a lot of them are, Fred, you have to be pretty foolish with your money not to be able to get by on $7 million a year.
Okay,
know?
Anything else?
Well, we need an update from you. You mentioned the owners' meetings where you were.
That was part of the tie lock. Before we moved on.
Around 6 o'clock today, the owners' meetings in Denver will wrap up. And they've already made one decision, and that's not to give Reggie Bush. Mm-hmm.
The correct decision.
Yeah.
They didn't even vote on that, by the way,
right.
which I found interesting.
Yeah, and I think it is the correct decision.
I think it's the correct decision, but a terrible rule, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I agree.
I think that there was no reason for them to have changed the rule for one guy.
But it's right.
Right, that gets changed in March.
But you don't like the rule of certain numbers for certain positions. You don't like
Unless
that. But
lineman.
But if they were to take that away, then they'd have to change a whole bunch of other rules.
It'd be mass hysteria like college football, right?
No, they'd have to change the ineligible player downfield rule. And
why?
It'd be a bunch of other.
Why?
We're saying linemen.
What is an ineligible player?
A lineman or guy that's not lined up in the right place to catch a pass right. or touch a pass even.
There's offensive linemen and the only ineligible guys. There's five guys
all right,
that are ineligible.
So, yeah, and I know who the offensive linemen are by their numbers, but
we keep some numbers for offensive linemen.
I could have an offensive lineman line up wide on one play, and all of a sudden, and if he doesn't declare, he'd still be eligible. As a referee, I wouldn't know whether he's eligible.
First of all,
Paul's right. They have no problem with it in college.
In college, they have no number restrictions, and I've never seen any problem with it, number one. Number two, if you wanted to do it your way, you could make the linemen have to be between 50 and 79.
Right.
Okay.
Okay? Number three.
Well, that's still changing the rule.
Number three, if you didn't do it anyway, did nothing, you still have to report as an eligible receiver. So I don't understand what this whole problem is. Now, I agree wholeheartedly, Reggie Bush, there should not have been an exception for him. There's been a lot of guys who wanted to have an exception made. Evidently, Edgerrin James asked several times during his pro career if he could wear the number 5 and was turned down every time. There was no reason for them to make an exception for one guy now. So I agree with the NFL's decision. I just think it's another example of the stuffy league, you know, wanting to do anything
why do
that
you
lacks
think
conformity.
That they have that number rule. Why do you think that rule was adopted
I'm
in the
sure
first
it's,
place?
I'm sure it's for the referees. I'm sure that you're right.
Organizational purposes.
I think there's something to be said for that.
It's stupid. The only rule should be you can't wear number
well,
one.
Well, you know, and not only did they not even vote, but Rich McKay, who is, I guess, in charge of the
competition
committee, said, I don't even think we'll ever look at that rule.
They probably won't.
You know? But so right. they must think it's really good,
it
Paul.
It took them 35 years to put the two-point conversion in.
I know.
You know, maybe sometime in 2074 they'll say, you know what, it's really kind of silly that a running back has to be between 20 and 49.
Well, I think Mike Florio in Pro Football Talk had it. If you're a kid and you think that you're ever going to go to the NFL, start using the number.
And it means a lot to you?
Right.
The other way, though. I've always had, just make the number good.
Right.
There's a lot of numbers that weren't cool until some player
exactly.
rushed for 10,000 yards and made them cool.
That's basically what Florio's point is. If you want a number, just make sure it's a number that's in conformity with the NFL.
But I think, I mean, if Vince Young is as good, all of a sudden 10 is going to be this cool quarterback number because he revolutionized the position. I mean, he'll make it good, and everybody will say, wow, that's a good. Well, it used to be 11, used to be 14, whatever. It's kind of the
12.
Whatever the in thing
it's
is.
It's the player who makes the
12 is the
this is just off-season
number.
Talk.
Sorry,
I
Paul.
I mean, nobody
don't
really cares. Bush doesn't even really care. He'll just wear 25. The fans don't
which
care.
Also is, by the way, taken by a Saint player.
Yeah, now he says he hasn't decided yet.
ESPN
last night was just saying he was going
to
wear 25. I don't know if that, you know. If there was any update.
Well, those are the two he used at that rookie photo shoot thing. He shot some
which
in
is
5
funny,
and 25.
Which is funny that he just, you know, blatantly, I mean.
Maybe I don't like him. Maybe he already has something in
place. He's coming off.
Could be.
You just said you didn't like him, Andy. He's coming off as an unlikable character.
Yeah.
I mean, and I don't
you know
care.
He's good at the backroom deals and you know, brokering
things. I disagree. I think he's handling it all right. He didn't whine when they said he couldn't have number five. He just attempted to.
Just said, no, I'll take that other guy's number.
See, I mean, they have something already in place.
See,
he's
Tom,
where
I disagree with you is that I think that just asking for it in the first place, the way he did so publicly, was a mistake. Even though he handled it well, I'll agree.
A stupid rule like we do, though. And
I think a player should come in and wear the jersey that he's handed. Period.
So that means Chad Jackson has to play in a jacket?
Well, exactly, in the winter.
I kind of agree with Fred, but that's a little old school.
Well, that's the way it
that's
should
high
be.
School footballish. I'm sorry, it doesn't fit in with
I just think it's
$30
comical,
million of guaranteed
but
money.
But I think it's comical that
isn't
people,
that enough? You got to have the
wait, you
I think
the
it's comical, Fred, that people like you create these stupid silver jerseys for the New England Patriots.
People like me!
So you can make more money for the organization. So a player wants to wear his number so he can sell tons of jerseys.
So we can pay him! We create those things so we can pay those
make
players.
All these stupid jerseys so fans like people that we know.
Hey, you know, you want to
go to the.
You want to go work for the Marble Shamrocks? You won't have to worry about that.
I just think it's stupid.
I don't think that. I disagree with. I think Andy and Fred in that. Why should you not have any say in your number? I mean, I think there's a difference between demanding your number the way some people have tried to do, and then
because it's a dictator.
Shut up and take it.
I'm the head coach. I assign a guy to assign you a number. That's, you wear it.
I think you're asking for a number should be.
Yeah, but you played high school football where they let you skip training camp and just come and play for the season. You weren't brought up in a good system.
When you have that, evident talent.
If you're a new player on a team, you want to come in the first day, ask the coach, the equipment manager, hey, can I have number, whatever. And they say no, that's the end of it. If they say yes, great. But if you go in the papers,
I agree with that. You know, no,
yeah,
that's
who,
what I'm saying. If Reggie
Bush
came in and
Bush
said,
"Bush or the media,"
I know they do it here.
And
okay,
it's agent.
The Patriots will give a player three or four numbers to choose from.
Right.
Those are the ones that are available.
Right.
These are the numbers you choose, and you pick one. That's the way.
I don't even mind saying beyond those three. Hey, is this one available? You know, asking, that's no problem. But you know, then your agent does this, you know, we really hope we can get it, blah, blah, blah.
Let's face it, we all know that it's a meaningless thing, but we know it's not meaningless to players. We know that everybody feels
number.
More comfortable.
Brian Morey wears it around his neck, and he's not even a pro.
Yeah, we know that.
He does. Did you know that? He has a 7.
Talked to Brian last night, by the way.
How's he doing?
He's doing all right.
Yeah?
Must have had another good Red Sox talk. Needed to talk to me about it a little bit.
He called me, was it last weekend or the weekend before? And, you know,
because
man,
if there was a some kind of...
He just talks and talks. And while he's talking, I'm thinking, man, he talks all day as his job. And he has no problem continuing to do it at night.
Yeah, true. See, Beth answered the phone, and I said to Brian when I got on the phone, I said, Beth doesn't know the rule about looking at the caller ID when you call first.
Oh.
Well, just one last thing on that. Did you read the Bosworth thing when he tried to change his number? He wanted to wear 44.
Well, I know that he wanted to change
it. And he put that he wrote a letter to the league as part of their package to get it. And he said, I'm not a linebacker. I'm a monster defensive back.
I don't remember that, no.
See, he had a little fun with it.
All right. We mentioned the owners' meeting. So that whole number thing's gone. There was also a proposal to increase the number of playoff teams by one in each conference. So what would happen, and this is how the proposal was worded, there would be only one bye per conference. Instead of two teams getting a bye, only one would get a bye. And you'd have seven teams in each making the playoffs instead of six.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a pretty good proposal. I think they tabled it, though. So they're not going to vote on it this year.
What do you guys think?
I don't like it.
I like it.
I don't like it.
I don't like
you
it.
Know, I don't well, want it. I don't want this turning into hockey where every, you know.
But it isn't. I mean, because, and here's the argument.
You're adding playoff spots.
Here's the argument that they made. Back when there were only 28 teams, okay, the percentage of teams that made the playoffs back then, the percentage would actually be less even if you had those two extra teams from the whole league getting in. You understand what I'm saying?
I like it less because of – I dislike it less because of the
– And I agree with you. I don't want it turning into every team makes it except for the last place team, you know, basically, which is hockey and basketball. But I don't think
less.
I think you're
those are getting less and less, by the way, because of expansion.
Yeah, and it's making the leagues worse too.
Well, but that's a different
argument.
I know. Expansion makes all leagues worse, not just basketball and hockey. But the reason I don't like it is because now the one aspect, I think that the biggest advantage in maybe all of sports playoffs is the bye that you get in
yes,
football.
Yes, I agree.
The first and second seeds getting byes. I would like to eliminate that, but I understand that that's unrealistic. So now you're saying instead of two teams in a conference getting that advantage, now only one is. And I think it's and I'm not saying that you don't deserve it, because obviously if you have the best record in the conference, you earn that bye. You earn that seed. I'm not suggesting that you luck into it, but I think it's an unfair advantage to have only one team get. So if you're adding that seven teams, yeah, it all works out right. You know, 7 plays 2, 6 plays 3, 5 plays 4, and then you're down to the final four in a conference,
right?
Just like normal. But now you only have one team. At least now you have two teams with that advantage,
right.
You know, quote unquote advantage going in. You know, and made the better team win with only one. I just think that
it's just too much.
In addition to being the best team, now you have the added advantage of being the only one that's rested.
Right.
But you earned
it. I don't
that.
Like that. No, you absolutely earned
see,
it.
In a year
luck,
when the
you
team,
don't luck into it, you earn it.
I
no
like
question.
It in a year when a team is clear is the only team that's 14-2, everybody else is 11-5. I like that. I wouldn't mind
that,
one
that
bye.
Wouldn't have been the case 2 years ago.
No, I know. I would have a problem when there's four teams that could all be, you know, some tiebreaker decides that they're the only one who gets a bye and everybody, then I wouldn't really like
I just
it. And you can't have a system.
I would almost rather see them add, you know, and I know that they're probably not ready yet, but, I mean, at some point there'd be more expansion. I know that, you know, the NFL is always looking to expand.
I look less favorably on expansion than I do this proposal.
Well, I do, too.
I don't want to expand. I don't mind a team moving
like,
from where it is
right.
to L.A. or something
I
like that.
See, I
but I don't want to add more teams, man. It's tough
don't
enough.
Wanna.
No,
bad,
I mean,
there's enough bad football going around.
It wasn't long ago, 5 years to be exact, where Belichick says he couldn't even fill a 53-man roster with quality players, citing guys like Shockman Davis and, you know, guys like that. You know, so it's tough. Not every team has depth and expansion's not going to help that.
Yeah, but I think he fills his roster now. I think that was just a
and,
team
oh,
that was
yeah,
poorly
but there's
put
other
together.
Teams that aren't.
And
I
think
mean,
that part of the reason for that, well, the biggest part of the reason for that was salary cap.
Yeah. But
they had so much dead money, they couldn't have quality players fill those spots because they couldn't afford them.
I think he believes he fills out a quality
53-man
roster now.
I don't think that there's that many guys who really should be in this league that are out there that you could fill another two teams and not worry about watering
down
the talent.
But what's the line there? What's the line?
I think where
why
they
shouldn't
are
you
right
just
now,
have four teams of all Pro Bowl
teams,
players?
Right. I think 32 teams is where you should
but
be.
Why is that the line? Why? I mean, you can go in either direction. Why is that the line, 32? Why, you'd be better at 28. You'd be better at 26.
I mean,
you'd be better
could,
at 22.
You could clearly lose four teams and you
better.
Know, increase the player,
oh, absolutely.
The player of your league.
But so why is 32 the line?
You also want to keep a certain amount of exposure around the country. You don't want to
that's why I want to add teams.
That's why Robert wants two more teams in L.A.
Two teams.
Well,
you see that?
Not
I thought
two
that was,
more. Well,
two teams
I thought
in
that
LA.
Was very interesting, that he not only thinks they should have a team in L.A., but they should have
by
two.
The way, I laughed when Arnold Schwarzenegger said it. When Robert said it, I said, okay, I guess it's not laughable anymore.
I'm still laughing.
Well,
I just
don't they won't go watch one
if you're
one
a diplomat
team,
for the league,
if you're a
representative for the league, which Robert is, or any of these owners, and you're talking about that situation, you have at least two mayors that really want this. So you want to give them both hope.
Right. No, I understand that. But he also has the numbers
understand.
With the population and the sixth greatest
oh,
gross
yeah.
national product in the country, if you consider that a country. And
I don't understand.
One-sixth of the population is there.
Well, you have Anaheim.
Oh,
they
okay.
really want
oh, okay,
it. And
okay.
you've got Pasadena. They
right.
really want
he
it.
He thinks
okay.
there should
no,
be
I
in
see
both.
What you're saying now.
Right. Yeah. Or says there should be a team. Although the Chargers is one that people are talking about.
Well, Spanos can get out of his lease right
Chargers
now.
Chargers could definitely move, although I think that would be unfortunate. San Diego's...
Rocky Balboa Stadium, that's old school.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know, for whatever reason, San Diego doesn't translate. I understand Mr. Kraft's point of view on this whole thing, and obviously the higher-ups in the NFL agree with him. I just don't see the hue and cry in L.A., and I know a lot of people that live in L.A.
Well, that
they don't care that they don't have a team, and they hate the fact that they're going to lose out on being able to watch all the other games.
Well, that's the
fear.
Thing, you know. And I remember a study; it's a few years old now, but you know they did a study on the viewership in L.A. when they had a team, and now, and it hasn't gone down that much. They still get the TV ratings. I think that they're thinking more; they're worried about how long can that last without an actual team in the city. You know,
it's already been, what, 10 years?
Well,
a while.
Well, they're worried, but they're worried about the next generation of fans also.
Well,
you know,
I also
because
think.
This generation
see,
of fans,
isn't that
they're going to watch
kind
no
of
matter what.
thinking? Because wouldn't it be more apt to be able to adapt if you never grew up with a team?
No, I think it's. I think if you're a kid now, if I'm and there's no kid, if I'm no a lifelong, team in LA.
If I'm a lifelong LA resident and I grew up with the Rams and then part-time the Raiders, and now I don't have them, I might be bitter.
No, you grew up watching NFL football.
Yeah, and I might be bitter now that I can't.
Maybe, but I think now you've watched some other teams, but I don't think you still love the NFL. They're worried about the kids.
And the kids who aren't necessarily white American, you know, you have all these different nationalities coming together there, and if one's watching hockey because he's from Russia and one's watching soccer because he's from wherever and he doesn't have a natural tie to football, he's not necessarily going to be drawn to the game. There's no pro team in town, and so he just...
I think that's a reach, but I understand your point.
Well, I mean, if his numbers are right and 1/6 of the country's population is there or is going to be there by...
Right.
I mean, that's a large market to potentially be missing.
Right.
And I think the other thing he brought up was Super Bowls.
Right.
And you can't really have a Super Bowl there if you don't have a team there.
And they are getting a team.
A slippery slope if you just start Super Bowl.
I don't get that either, but that's, you know, it's kind of like a running back can't wear number 5. Can't have a Super Bowl in L.A. if you don't have a, you know,
well,
a team.
Politically, with all the cities that do have teams that are supporting their team that want a Super Bowl, now you go and give it to a city that doesn't even have a team.
Call it what it is. It's bribery.
Political.
It's right.
Oh, yeah. There's no question about that.
Don't say you can't have a Super Bowl.
You can do whatever you want.
There's no team there.
But your first...
And I'm not saying you personally, Andy.
You can't. Because you can't.
Because you need to bribe the teams.
Exactly.
But there will be a team in L.A.
At some point, all the teams that he's bribing, then all those cities are going to have you know, stadiums.
Oh, yeah.
And there's not going to be any more left to bribe.
No, but then the older stadiums will have to be rebuilt.
You can't have one in Las Vegas either because, you know, it's... They gambled there.
Well, that's,
I don't know if you heard.
Apart from New Orleans, I think that's where they should have the Super Bowl is Las Vegas.
It could be great.
You know? It would be awesome. Are you kidding me?
It could be great.
Oh, my God.
Do they have a facility
I might
there?
Never go to sleep if
not,
that happened.
Not
have a Super Bowl facility.
One big enough for a
they
Super Bowl.
Build it.
I know they build it.
They put up
I don't know if you know, there's a little bit of room in the bottom.
A stadium would be no problem.
They'd have to dig around the bodies, but they'll build it.
And they'll put a roof on it, and they'll air condition it, and it'll be fine.
Bunch of seagulls have to roll over.
Yeah. So
that would be fun. Imagine a week in Las Vegas to cover the Super
Bowl. I don't think we'd ever even go to sleep.
Oh, my God.
The buffets.
Oh, my God.
My per diem would just be going right on the table.
Me too, and I don't even gamble. I was playing war.
Every morning I would know who won and who lost just when you came into work.
Well, I,
Fred,
Paul won,
but Fred,
Andy
but
lost.
Fred, I had, I.
And I'd be on my way home, so.
All right.
What else is there?
Another thing that they're talking about is, and I hate, and I don't even think they should consider it, but they are. I understand why they do it. I don't think it's needed, is regular season games being played abroad.
Oh, I hate it.
And they're talking about Canada and Mexico and London having at least one, maybe two regular
season. They just happen to come from Mexico.
Regular season games being played abroad, and I can't stand that. At least one team's going to lose out on a home game.
Yeah.
You know, and that and it and then on
it
top of that,
for the fans.
For the fans and for both teams, it's just a pain in the butt.
Yeah, players.
I mean, Monday Night Football is bad enough as far as disrupting the schedule, but this is, you know.
Yeah, it does stink for the fans.
And think about the writers of the team's newspaper.
I mean, you know, I understand, you know.
I'm trying to get a little bit more, you know.
No, but yeah,
broad
about it as a
and
fan.
My sympathy.
Say it's Patriots Cowboys is on the schedule, and you're like, wow, that's going to be fun this year. Pat's Cowboys game. All of a sudden they say, yeah, that game's going to be in Toronto. And it ends up being a great game, and you missed out on what maybe the best game of the season for your team. You're a season ticket holder, but you couldn't go because you can't afford to go.
We're talking about the flexible scheduling being kind of inconvenient for fans, but this is that.
And
you know,
and, you know, and what they did last year, they had Arizona go down, and, you know, arguably you could say they looked at the schedule and they looked at two teams that the fans wouldn't be that upset with, and, you know, Arizona's one of them. But, you know, then isn't that counterproductive? You're sending an inferior product
sooner or later
to spread
to
the word.
To promote your game.
Right.
That's not going
to
work.
It does, to me, it just doesn't work. I don't like that. I hope that they...
Are they going to discuss this?
I think so, yeah. Okay. It's a proposal.
I didn't know if it was put in...
I don't know if it's resolved or not, you know, but I don't like it. I don't like it. I think there's other ways to promote the NFL abroad. Preseason games, bad enough, but okay. But regular season games, 16 games in a season, every one of them is vitally important.
Yeah.
You know, you want it in your home. You want if you have a home game, you want it to be a home game. You know, and that's it. So.
True that.
Yeah. So I don't know.
I agree.
I don't know what's going on.
And then
that doesn't really even have anything to do with our selfish, usual selfish.
Except Tom.
Well, it would be if
it
would be tough for us, but
for us,
that's not why I don't like it. That's not the only reason why I don't like it.
And Mexico, oh, God.
You know you have to pay me more to go there, right? There's a law about that.
I got to go to Mexico to cover a preseason.
Mexico City, there is a.
Oh, you didn't go to that game?
Oh, are you kidding me?
You sent Brian.
I was
remember that when you
I was
going
to say, I'm going to remember that when you say, we're going to Mexico. And I go, whoa, are you kidding me?
We're on the way to the Tokyo Dome. I'll remember that.
I go there.
I would too.
Well, have fun.
I'm not going to Mexico City.
Are we, is there a game this
year?
You
can't even leave your hotel.
Is there a game in Tokyo this year?
No, seriously.
I don't know.
Like a,
I actually, believe it or not, I had a conversation on Sunday with several. Japanese Patriots fans.
Buenas noches, amigos.
I said Japanese.
What? You're talking to Japanese fans and you make fun of me for being a man of the people? I'm a man
no
of the American people. You're a worldly man of the people.
No. These were all corporate executives.
No disrespect to the
I'm not
the
a man
Orientals.
Of the people like you. These were all
Part
corporate
Paul,
executives.
Paul Nolan.
They were
not
the owners
just on
of
the
my
media
mother-in-law's
now.
Company.
He does speaking engagements.
Yeah. This was not a speaking engagement. This was a go-away party because the CEO of the company my mother-in-law used to work for.
They're throwing a party for you to go away?
Has to go back to Japan.
So they asked if you could speak at it?
No. It was a party that I went to and I was talking to
Why did you speak at a party?
Well, you know, because I'm very gifted with the gab. I don't know.
He
if
just
you know
broke that. Into a speech.
All of a sudden, I felt like I had an audience. So
DJ, cut it.
I got a makeshift podium together and I just started talking.
Trump had the opportunity to play with her.
But anyway,
I hope everyone enjoyed their sushi. My name is Paul Perillo.
I've been here for 15 years. Yeah. They never saw any football. There's like four of them. Never saw any football before they got here. Huge Patriots fans. They were at the snowball game, the last game at Foxborough Stadium. Just could not, you know, ask me enough questions about, do you think Vrabel will be inside or outside?
Right, right.
And I was wondering if there was still going to be a game in Japan in the preseason.
I don't know.
As I was talking to him, I didn't know the answer.
I would enjoy going to Japan. I would enjoy going to London. Even if they played in Toronto or Montreal, I would enjoy going there. I like those cities. But
Mexico City.
Man, it's a pain. Not Mexico City. And it's a pain in the butt no matter where
you
go.
Why do we have to go to Mexico City?
It's bad enough.
Cancun or something.
It's bad enough playing a West Coast game. You know? Forget about having to pull out your passport.
Buenas noches, amigos.
I don't even own a passport.
I don't even own a passport either.
You should get one.
I'd have to get one.
Why should I get
Tom,
one?
Tom, are you eligible? Can you get one with your past?
I don't know. Probably not. So
I
guess I can't go to China with you, Fred. Sorry.
I had one. It expired.
It expired?
It's only good for 10 years.
Yeah, I have one. I've never used it.
I never used it because when I was in high school, we were going to go to London, Paris, and Rome.
I'm not talking about American Idol.
Mid-80s. And, I don't know, Gaddafi was blowing stuff up.
All right. And then the final thing on the agenda, and probably the main reason that they needed to get together was this whole commissioner search. And they're hoping that by August 18th, they'll have somebody named.
Well, Fred, you were a big part of these meetings, so.
Whoa.
What?
I was a big part.
You
went out there, right?
You were an influential member of the committee.
Buenas noches, amigos.
What are you?
I'm on the search committee.
What are you hearing about the candidates?
I'm looking at the food and beverage department.
What are you hearing about potential candidates?
Well, they hired Korn Ferry, which is a big, big search firm, and Art Rooney Jr. is probably. It's kind of the lead guy there.
Dan Rooney. And his brother, Steve.
And his brother. And, you know, so they're,
and his other brother, Art.
You know, they're looking at people.
Art would be the father.
But, you know, there's a lot of, like, big names that have been thrown around. Jeb Bush today, and, you know, he won't do it, he says.
Scoffing like that he wasn't really thought of?
I am.
Should I make a statement that I'm not interested in being commissioner? They can pull my name off the list.
But here's the thing about that. There's no way that these owners will bring in someone for their name. That's not how they want this done. They don't want the owner to be the star. The owners of this league are the owners. The people who run this league are the owners. That's the way they want to keep it. They don't want to bring somebody in who's got a big name, who's going to be in the paper every week, you know, who's going to want to make his mark or her mark. That's not what they're looking for. I can guarantee you that the person they bring in, and I don't know who it is, no one will know about.
You don't have any names for it?
I don't have any names, but I guarantee it's not going to be someone, Condoleezza Rice.
You should have some free time about that time.
It's going to be someone, probably a lawyer, that's involved in labor negotiations before, you know, so that they can hit the ground running. They won't have to have any learning curve. But I can guarantee it's going to be someone who's just a hard worker, you know, diligent,
down to, you know, down to the basics. That's
sounds like me.
Basically, they want someone to work for them.
The Dude Man.
They don't
Dave
want
Dudek.
A Peter Uberoff who's going to come in and try to be
over and a shake.
Yeah, why would they want that? They've got a good thing going. You know, they don't need that. So. So all this stuff, Jeb Bush. And
so I won't know the name when it's announced.
I doubt it, and neither will I.
Okay. You know? I was going to say, more accurately, will Fred know the name?
He probably knows the name now.
But you and I, come on, that's not.
I know some names. I've heard of Jeb Bush.
The governor of Florida.
Much the same
and
way.
The president's brother.
You can make it. You can make it.
Good for you. I'll give the Paula Abdul clap.
You can make an analogy with Bill Belichick and his system. Why would he bring in an offensive coordinator who wants to change things up? You want to keep it going the way it is. So. That's what I...
I'm just a little disappointed. I was under the impression that you were going to give us some names.
I don't know any names.
You don't have any names.
I have no names.
Can we take a break so you can tell us some names?
I have no names.
Okay.
There's no lawyer you've heard of that the league's high-ranking lawyer or...
Richard, no, I mean...
Richard Block?
A lot of people thought, you know, Roger Goodell, who's already in the league.
Yeah,
works.
I thought so.
You know, he could be...
I don't know who that is.
No, he's a definite candidate. You know, that would be a seamless transition, I would think.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Mike Tice. I think he'd be a good candidate.
Sure. Anyway, okay. So any and all of those things are on the table. We got a lot of emails coming in, and right after this, Gary, we're going to get to them.
And that's full time. The New England Revolution are your Eastern Conference champions for 2005. What a performance by the Rams.
The New England Revolution are revved up for a return to MLS Cup. As summer heats up New England, the soccer action heats up in Foxborough. Don't miss exciting matchups against DC United and Freddie Adu. A Friday night matchup against Real Salt Lake and the New York Red Bulls and Houston Dynamo's first ever appearances in Foxborough. Get to Gillette Stadium for hot soccer action all summer long with the interactive theme park soccer celebration plus free parking all season long. New England Revolution Soccer is an affordable, fun day for the whole family. Tickets start at just $18. Call the Revolution Ticket Office today at 1-877-GET-REBS or Ticketmaster at 617-931-2222 to get your ticks, get your kicks, and get the revolution. From sixth-round draft pick in 2000 to three-time Super Bowl champion and two-time MVP, Patriots quarterback Tom Brady has done it all. Until now.
Tom Brady watches a 60-yard.
Tom Brady is 2005 Sports Illustrated Sportsman of the Year. And now you can get an autographed copy of the SI cover personally autographed by the perennial Pro Bowler himself. It's the must-have keepsake for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on the Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, pre-game field passes, memorabilia, merchandise, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Sportsman of the Year Sports Illustrated cover autographed by Tom Brady. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact, too. Autograph print limited to the first 500 with qualifying purchase. Visit PatriotsExtraPoints.com for details.
Hi, this is Taylor Twoman with your New England Revolution. Learn to play like the pros at Revolution Academy. The Revolution Academy is now enrolling for the 2006 season and has designed innovative, challenging, and skill-specific curriculums for all age groups. Learn how to develop your game, see how the pros practice, and even get tickets to see a Revolution match. By the end of the program, you'll have learned the skills to play like a pro.
Oh, now a shot! Unbelievable! Taylor Twoman!
The Revolution Academy is coming to Cranston, Swansea, Somerset, Tewksbury, Sudbury, Beverly, Foxborough, Smithfield, Westwood, Marshfield, Bedford, New Hampshire, and Portland. To find a session in a town near you or to register, call 508-384-9242. That's 508-384-9242. Or log on to revolutionsoccer.net and score a goal with the Revolution Academy. Red Kirsch, Paul Perillo, Andy Hart, Tom.
And last but not least,
Rory. Red, Paul, Andy, Tom.
And just one more time,
Rory.
Yeah, I like that commercial, that Dunkin' commercial. Yeah. Have you seen that with the karate?
Yeah.
I like something about that commercial stuck with me. I like it.
Maybe the fact that you watch Red Sox games and you've seen it 4,000 times in the last month?
No, I just...
Chances of my getting work done today are...
It's a quote. It's a, that one I can't stand. That guy's a little slimy, man. It's like they filmed that in somebody's bedroom. Anyway, that's the
dude, man.
The Red Roof Inn.
Yeah.
And a Core Hotel.
Yeah. Well,
he really listens.
Works with you.
Mr. Advertising doesn't work.
Right.
He knows it's in a Core Hotel.
I don't know what that means, so evidently it didn't work that well.
Okay. I like that tune.
I can't stand... What's his name?
I can't stand Parker Posey either, so I hate him both sides.
Yeah. Parker
yes,
Posey.
The woman is Parker Posey. She's an actress.
Yeah.
I knew I was going to get a blank look from Andy.
Okay.
The one of Eva Longoria.
Which one is that?
It's another one where she's dancing in the rain. She gets a little wet, and she stops the cop and goes...
Must not be on Red
Sox. Guys didn't see that, but Andy just did a little blow kiss, so, yeah.
Eva Longoria,
he's
hot.
He's feeling a little...
She's pretty hot. Did you watch Desperate Housewives?
I've seen the show once or twice.
I love you, Johnny Cakes.
I will not skip Idol and go to Desperate Housewives.
I love you, Johnny Cakes.
The finale, the season finale was on last week, and she was had one scene where she was talking. She was remembering like the affair that she had with the gardener, and
back to back years on Maxim's Hot 100. First time back to back winner or something.
All right. Okay, let's get to some emails. Webradio@patriots.com.
We can't talk about attractive women now on the show?
I know where it's going.
No, that's as far as...
No, you're usually the one who brings it, where it's going.
No.
I love you, Johnny Cakes.
Gary liked that.
Now, did you see that?
Do you like it when he rolled him over?
Oh,
see that this week?
What's up, Vito?
I did see it, yeah.
Did you like it?
It was a weird one. It was a lot about, you know, people kind of reflecting, and you could see... Things are about to happen. I mean, Phil's going down.
But didn't the season end?
Is that
no,
it?
No, you would think so, because this was supposed to be the last season. But
it
they
wasn't supposed to be the last
they
season.
They throw in another season. Just, what the hell?
I'm really upset at that. Because somehow, like, halfway through this season, everybody got the impression that it was over. There was only, like, 3-4, you know, episodes left. There's one more left of this season. But then they're doing 8 more to finish it.
Right.
That was the plan from the get-go.
Finish the season or finish the
to
series?
To finish it forever.
Forever.
So there's basically 9 more episodes left. One now, and then there's going to be, they claim, a shorter hiatus.
Right.
That's my money, Paul.
I don't know when what that means, you know, for them. You know, they went 18 months between
We're talking Sopranos, in case anyone...
Anyway, I liked the part where... You
know, no,
they're
not.
Talking to Tom about it. After they killed Vito, and then they were talking about it later... And one of the guys goes, I wish I had borrowed money from him.
Yeah.
And the other guy that did actually do it, he's got that smile on his face.
Exactly. All right. Emails. S writes in. He's moved from New England. He wants to listen to the games through the webpage. And is it the same announcers as WBCN? Tom, you're the new guy. Do you know the answer to this?
You cannot listen to it from Patriots.com.
Incorrect, Tom.
Okay. I thought the NFL had all these.
You're right, technically.
Half credit.
Yeah. You can sign up for our games through the NFL Pass.
League Pass,
yeah.
Right.
There's a link on it every Sunday on Patriots.com. But it is Gino and Gil. You get to choose which team's announcers you want.
Right.
So
I just thought you had to go to NFL.com to do it.
Now you do. During the season, we'll have a link up.
Oh, all right.
And we can have a link up now if we wanted to. But if you're interested in doing that right now, you can go to NFL and look for their Field Pass, I believe it's called. And sign up for that. So, Cisco, Washington State.
The Cisco kid?
Dong, 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 dong.
He has a theory about this year's draft picks. Anyone like to hear it?
I think we'd all like to hear
okay.
it.
Okay. Maybe the Patriots did not like how Denver's blitzes were killing Brady on every down. Denver pounded Brady with each blitz, and I'm thinking that Bill and Pioli had to stop teams from using the all-out blitz this upcoming season. I theorize Bill is thinking that bringing in more offensive skill in the form of a running back, wide receiver, and good blocking tight ends hopefully will discourage that type of strategy. Just a theory, but we need a linebacker soon.
Well, I agree that they need to do something about the blitzing that went on periodically, especially late and clearly in Denver. But I'm not so sure that... First of all, I don't think they drafted tight ends that have a reputation of being great blockers.
And they're not. They have a reputation for being ball
catchers.
Yeah.
You always got to put it in a funny way.
What? Ball catchers?
Anyway.
You guys are unbelievable.
Even I
like
call
it Pee Wee Herman's front house here.
And you're Pee Wee.
Anyway, clearly don't have the reputation of being great blockers, and I'm not sure that, you know, I mean, if Maroney pans out, that could help you.
Right. Well, having a running game,
avoiding second and nine is a good way to avoid the blitz.
Yeah, that, I mean, that's the threat of a running game can help you against the blitz, but I'm not so sure, you know, a wide receiver, you know, no matter how good he is, how much that stops you from.
And the other thing is, too, is people are now under the assumption that Belichick went into the draft targeting running back and wide receiver.
Right, right.
When we don't know what would happen if Bobby Carpenter was there, if Ty Hill was there.
Right.
He picks the best players available, and it just happened they were all offensive players.
And that gets to my whole thing, and I couldn't agree with Tom anymore. We say it every year, how no one knows, no one has any idea what Belichick is going to do in the draft, blah, 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 blah. No one does. And you can't tell because you don't know who's going off the board beforehand.
Right. Nobody knows what they're going to do.
No one.
The team with the first pick.
Right. There's very few teams.
They don't even know what
they're
doing.
There are very few teams. There are some. There are some. And you guys talked about Dennis Green, who says, you know, exactly what he's going to do, and he has no problems telling you, and then he does it.
Well, the Colts, for example, I think hella high water, they were going to take a running back.
They were going to take a running back.
They didn't care who was there.
Take a running back.
If someone took a die, they would have taken Brian.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm not making a blanket statement.
Oh, he's gone?
Nobody. But, you know, 32 teams, 28 of them do it the way the Patriots do.
Right.
You know, they wait to see what happens before they decide what they're going to do.
And even beyond, I mean, Bill was considering Jackson at 21, so he certainly didn't think he was going to be able to get him in the second round. He was happy to accept him once he found out, well, the guy I could have had at 21 is now I'm getting two.
Right.
But he didn't just assume going into the draft that's how it was going to work out. I'll get Chad Jackson in the second round.
Just the way it went.
Even he admitted it. He was considering him at 21.
He said it. He said it in those very words.
Stephen Fuquay, North Carolina. I heard last week's show, and you talked a lot about the different rookies and free agents, but I didn't hear you mention... That really bothers me, that some ass...
And I'll say it.
I really, really tried. I just couldn't do it.
Okay.
They're plummeting down the podcast list.
You know what happened? Because I looked at Andy, and Andy laughed, and that was fine. But when Tom was laughing, I couldn't stop.
Oh, good. Stephen, North Carolina. I heard last week's show, and you talked a lot about the different rookies and free agents, but I didn't hear you mention the big guy from California, Ryan O'Callaghan. Was he in minicamp? And if so, how did he look? Is he bigger than Hand from Florida? Tom.
He's probably a little bit wider. They're both relatively close to the same height.
Stephen Fuquay.
6'7", I think they are.
Yes.
They're both very big guys.
Callaway.
O'Callaghan's probably a little bit more powerful.
Stephen Fuquay.
More
and
powerful.
I will say on Saturday, because I know that, you know, Fred, you know, evidently thinks Tom's the only one that worked rookie minicamp, so I want to set that record straight.
So you know, if he had said Andy, I would have gone, I don't know.
you know, of course, the only people that, you know, got credit for working the minicamp were the ones that worked on Sunday, even though...
It was Mother's Day.
Even though they were here half the amount of hours that that were here on Saturday
Fred was in the right. Thanks, Fred.
It was in...
Anyway, he clearly stands out just... In pure size. O'Callaghan is enormous. I mean, they don't have pads on. They just had helmets, shorts, and T-shirts. And I didn't even get a lot of good Dante yelling, you know, that you normally get at camps.
Yeah, it was
at
hard
the camps.
To get a good feel.
They're not doing any drive. I mean, they're hitting the sled a little bit, but they're not doing any drive blocking, any kind of one-on-one with defensive line.
Yeah,
so
you
can really
see
it. But he's
big and he's powerful. Yeah, we know that.
From a pure size standpoint, he's very big. I didn't really notice Hand as much. But, you know, obviously he's a big offensive lineman, too, so he's no... He's no
But O'Callaghan is listed at 344, I think, but his coach told me he's ballooned up to 365, 370.
Well, that's the thing about him is keeping him motivated, I guess.
Right. Mm-hmm. No question. Know. That is what his coaches said will be his problem and something they struggled with in college. The one thing, there's no question that he can move people. He's just big, powerful. His size, just not a lot of people that are 6'6", 6'7", 340 and can play the game of football.
Mm. Stephen Fuquay, you know, you guys weren't here last week, but Justin from Alaska came
that.
Down
and
with
Justin,
his wife.
Thanks for the mug. Yeah, I used it this morning.
Great shirt, Justin. Thanks.
I'm glad you brought that up.
He also
that
brought a
nice
smoked salmon,
Justin.
But I ate it.
That's okay. I
didn't share that with you guys.
I said to
that
Paul,
that was very nice of him, and much appreciated.
I take back everything
nice
I ever said about him being a crazy fan. I appreciate the mug.
We had a nice tour.
You didn't say any of that on the air?
Oh, wait, my bad. Good guy, Justin.
We had a nice tour, and I ended the tour in the pro shop, you know, just like Disney, you know, you go through the ride and you end up in the gift shop, and I gave him my 30% employee discount. I said,
hey, you've reached the depth of anything you want, Gillette Stadium.
30% off.
Moneybags Kirsch over here.
Well, it's not my money.
Exactly.
Hi, you've reached the desk of Ken Flanders at Gillette Stadium.
Justin, email in. I want to know his reaction to the stadium.
Well, Justin
oh, this
did.
Is him?
That's why I brought him up.
He writes, it's okay.
No, well, he wrote in last week to think about the stadium. You know.
Well, I appreciate the
very mug. Nice.
I use it this
Thank
morning.
Thank you very much.
Okay. He says the format, he's talking about our show. After listening to the Paul and Andy Adults Only show.
We do join Dick for a little while.
Then followed by the Fred and Tom's Football Focus show. Though each show is entertaining in its own way, but as a listener, I really enjoy the quartet together. There seems to be a good balance there. Just some feedback. Another thing that Tom and I were talking about last week were nasty players. We were talking about...
That's when Tom was saying that Jack Tatum was, you know, kind of like Hitler and misunderstood.
His idol. But he says, I believe there's a real...
One of my favorite
players.
I don't care.
I believe there's a real difference between being a nasty player and a dirty player. Rodney Harrison, who I think injected a shot of attitude in the Pats when he joined 2003, I think is a nasty player, not a dirty one.
I disagree.
I remember in training camp 03, Rodney laid out Troy Brown during one of the drills, and from the reports, it set a tone on defense, which was needed after the 0-2 defense. They let more people score in them than Paris Hilton does.
Oh, hey now.
Hey, the difference to me is intent. Rodney and me, when I played, and in Madden, tried to destroy the man with
I'm
the
here
ball.
Thinking, okay, we get the extra. Whoa, what happened? You know, go on in. You know.
Injury is not the intent. Rather, it's the punishment that will affect a player. If the opponent is scared to get hit again or of injury, even a little in his mind, that will affect his game. Yes, a professional should not be affected, but he's human. A nasty player has a chip the size of Mr. Kraft Bentley on his shoulder and plays on the field like someone stole his mother's medication.
Was that part of the tour?
Yeah, did you go buy the Bentley on the tour?
Actually, no, he had the Lexus that day.
Oh, okay.
A dirty player's aim is injury, period, and I don't think that's Rodney. The opponent may end up with an injury, but that's an ancillary effect from the nasty player.
So
it's the goal of the dirty player.
He just described Jack Tatum, too. They're both the same type of player.
You don't think that Tatum went out to hurt people?
No, not that way. No, I don't think he went out to paralyze people and put them in wheelchairs.
Right, he didn't go out to try to paralyze. He tried to inflict pain upon
I don't either, but once it happened, he had no remorse.
That's different.
That's where I think he's a reprehensible person.
I heard him say he was sorry that he's injured.
40 years later.
He's not going to apologize
it took him a long, long time to make that apology.
According to him, he tried to go to the hospital and he was turned away. Yeah. So you don't believe that because you live in New England.
I don't believe that.
I don't believe that.
Let's see what people in Oakland think.
Well, there's no one at that hospital that remembers him being turned away.
How did John Madden
either?
Get there?
They didn't want Tatum. They refused to let Tatum see him.
I don't believe that. He didn't even try to reach out to Stingley until he wrote his book.
Well,
he wanted
whatever,
to do that as part of his PR campaign.
Tatum and Harrison play very similar styles.
Tatum's
hit on Stingley wouldn't even be illegal today. He
no,
hit him with
there was
shoulder.
Nothing. Now, I agree with Tom.
Why is that dirty, then?
It's just to say, hey, how you doing? I'm sorry it happened.
I don't think it was.
That's all.
Yeah, but I don't think it was dirty.
No.
It was a hard hit that was it was an unfortunate incident.
And my point is that Rodney Harrison, with the way he hits, could have very easily have paralyzed somebody during his career.
Oh, a lot
he
of guys
hit
could.
Him
a lot of guys
two inches
could.
To the left or 2 inches to the right, where Tatum hit right where you're not supposed to hit, and it was unfortunate.
I mean, if Lawyer Malloy had any, you know, accuracy, he could kill somebody, too.
I'll also say this, Fred, you know, and I think we can all agree, no one likes Rodney more than I do. Right now, he's
really?
my favorite Patriot.
Is this a revelation here?
No, come on, Rodney, my favorite guy.
What about his wife? Does she like him more than you do?
I'm talking about here.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, yeah, I might rival his wife anyway. But
what? Geez. What's going on?
But anyway, when he was in San Diego, I couldn't stand him. I thought he was the dirtiest player in football. I thought he was the dirtiest player in football. I always constantly would see him jumping on piles late.
Well, so did the league. He got the most
leading with his
packages.
Head. So to say that he's just a hard-nosed player or, you know, how did he describe it? Dirty and what else?
Dirty and nasty.
Nasty. I don't think. I mean, I think that he plays on the edge and
he throws four.
I think he crosses the
edge.
I think he's dirty.
Cross the line.
I think he hits people out of bounds. I think he does the forearm thing you just talked about underneath the face mask. And you're not trying to kill the person. You're not trying to paralyze him. You're trying to hurt him. No, you're trying to inflict pain on him.
You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?
Right. The pain versus injury thing.
Exactly.
You're trying to inflict pain.
And I like.
But he's dirty. I like him. But I think every teammate he's ever played with would say he's dirty.
Right. And a lot of
when we did the poll and we were asking the dirtiest player, they said Rodney's not allowed to.
We said the Patriots weren't allowed to pick their teammates, and at least five of them said, so we can't pick Rodney in this?
He's dirty. But we love him.
He plays on the edge, and oftentimes he crosses over that line.
Anyway, it's to the
a lot of players do.
We laugh about it in the press box a lot, the hits out of bounds. You always know if there's a guy coming to a sideline, Rodney's coming, and he's going to hit him whether he's inbounds, out of bounds, or on the line.
And don't tell me that, you know, when he gets those 15-yard penalties that that's, you know, a nasty
and he
edge
does that,
to him.
Like, throws his hand down like he can't believe he's getting flagged for the 37th straight game.
Right.
Justin goes on to say, I see this a lot in the field. I'm a high school football referee. And I know, and if I know a player is nasty, they call it high motor. I will go up to him, to them during pregame, and tell them to have a good game, hit hard and fast, but that we won't stand for anything cheap. Preventative officiating, and it works well. Anyway, what are your thoughts on the difference between nasty and dirty? And if you wanted to give your opinion, I think we already have.
Well, yeah. I like the email.
You mentioned Conrad Dobler.
Right.
That's a dirty guy.
Right.
Now, as someone, as a columnist wrote after Stingley got injured, Jack Tatum ran a 4.38 40 and was a muscular 225, 230 pounds. Back then, 4.38 40s weren't even thought of. And when you're that fast and that big and you hit people the way he hit people, there's going to be collisions. So he was a very... you know, nasty player, I would say. But you were mentioning Dobler, who bit people and would try to rip their arms off.
Sure.
That's dirty.
Diving at guys' knees.
Yeah.
Conrad Dobler was a rarity, in my opinion. I don't think there are a lot of guys that are out and out blatantly dirty. They want to do something
if you're
out of
that
the rule
bad,
book
you're,
to
you're
going to
get
player.
It. Someone's going to end up right. targeting
comes around,
you.
Goes around.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, I'm sure
like
that
Stephen Neal taking a shot, you know, at, what's his name?
No, Logan Mankins.
What did I say? Stephen Neal?
Mankins.
Logan Mankins took a shot at Eza Beaka Booga Booga.
He has a reputation of being a dirty player, and I think he probably is.
You know?
Gary scurrying around in the booth at that Ebenezer Ecubon pronunciation.
Tom, he has
a
Eza Beaka Booga Booga.
He's funny.
I think there are a lot of guys, though, that...
Every team has dirty players.
Like a lot of defensive backs, especially. Eza Beaka Booga Booga. Tatum, you know, what's the guy, Chuck Cecil?
Cecil.
You know, yep. I mean, there's a lot of safeties that their intent, Doug Plank, Gary Fenson.
Even Jim Lynch.
John Lynch. Their intent,
now you're just doing it on purpose.
Their intent may not be to, you know, tear a guy's ACL or to knock a guy unconscious.
Right.
But their intent is definitely to make sure that
Ronnie
player
Lott.
Remembers them.
And you have to err on the side of hit them versus not hit them, because otherwise you're not in the NFL.
Right.
You have to have that edge.
And I'm not saying they're
not
hitting a guy to hurt him. They are. They're
right.
trying to make the guy remember. They're trying to, you
it's
know,
like going
lateral,
down a lane
lateral
in basketball. If you let a guy drive down that lane, you've lost the game. If you let a guy go over the middle without that fear... you've lost.
Right. But we've seen Rodney take a guy out
being in the lottery.
And grab his hand and pull him up and slap him on the butt when the guy jumps up.
Yeah.
Because it's about the game.
It's
he's trying to hurt
game.
You within the confines of the game. He's not trying to take you out permanently.
So I don't think those guys are dirty players when I look at a guy like Rodney and a guy like Cecil.
I think he's a little dirty.
I just think that they play on the edge, and there are times where they cross that line.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they get fined so much.
Finally, Justin wants to know more about Tom. He heard that he was with Chiefs, but wants to know more. Actually, I found Tom in an off-track betting parlor. He was down to his last quarter, and I stood him back up, brushed him off.
So why don't we hear a little bit more about Tom then?
There's nothing to say. I mean, that's the truth. I'm not that exciting of a person.
He's just like a closed book, Tom.
Well, I think we know pretty much everything there is to say.
Yeah, Justin,
we had the story
Justin
about Pinos.
Know.
He knows the story about Pinos. We discussed that one day when we thought it was in New York. It wasn't in New York. Then we found out there's another one in New York.
There's a lot of Pinos. There's a Pinos by BC. It sells great steak and cheeses.
He's been everywhere.
Cleveland Circle.
He used to live there.
Live right above it.
BC or Costa Rica?
The Virgin Islands.
Let's see. Stan writes.
Bert called the Virgin Islands when he left. Bada bing.
Hey now. Stan writes it. In your discussions last week, you thought about unretiring numbers.
Unretiring numbers.
Geez,
I'll tell you, Andy, we really dropped the ball the previous week. We didn't have any of these hard hitting football topics on our show.
He's just talking about duty and caca. I have a solution that both honors the player whose number is retired, recalls it, introduces
the problem
him to
is,
a new generation
when you first,
of fans.
When I first went to Buffalo.
And Doug wants to chime in on numbers.
Hey, wait.
Plays left
we're on his second tour of the NFL now.
Not
we're getting,
necessarily
we're getting
just
to the
one
end.
And done,
oh,
but it was an area read and done.
No.
All right. Anyway, I have a solution that both honors the player whose number is retired, recalls and introduces him to a new generation of fans, and yet still allows the jersey number to be utilized. The back of the jersey has players' numbers above the number, players' name above the number. I would propose adding a retiree's name below the number as well. From top to bottom, the back of the jersey would be current player's name, number, retiree's name. If you wanted to, you could put the retiree's name name in gold outline. If he made the Pro Football Hall of Fame, to add even more attention, as opposed to merely normal color for a Patriots Ring of Honor inductee, for example.
Okay, hold on.
Yeah.
I want to make sure I understand this.
Oh, yeah, you understand it.
So,
name, number, name.
So let's just say, for argument's sake, that Matt Cassel in 10 years is going to be the Patriots starting quarterback, and he wants to wear 12. Number 12.
Yeah.
So it's going to say Cassel 12,
Brady in gold. Yeah. In gold, because he'll be in the Hall of Fame.
But then...
Can't explain enough how I don't like it.
I know. But then when Castle's really good, and the next guy named Smith comes along, it'll be Smith 12 Brady Cassel.
Next thing you know, it looks like one of those concert tour t-shirts.
Well, one of those, like, European Hockey League shirts with, like, 17 ads on it.
But he's even got the play-by-play of what will happen when you call out the guy's number. Should I read it?
Sure.
Go ahead.
So he says, that way, when the play-by-play announcer says, TD, that tough run shows a lot of power and jumping ability by Lawrence Maroney, number 39, as he hurdled the stack to score. If you notice, he shares his jersey with Sam Bam Cunningham, and Sam used to run the ball real tough just like that.
Okay.
And why I remember when Sam Bam hurtled through the line, or, and then he goes on with another one.
Well, just so you guys can catch up, last week me and Fred agreed that only a Tom Brady-type player should have his number retired. We feel that too many, like what the Yankees do, like they just retire the greats, and too many teams retire numbers like they're giving out candy.
I think that there are always examples of guys that probably shouldn't, but I think that the storied franchises have a hard time with that because, you know, like the Yankees, for example, have had so many
great players.
Just immortal players. You know, look at the Celtics.
But they haven't retired all. They only retired Ruth, Gary,
yeah, but
Mantle.
Celtics. Do you consider Cedric Maxwell immortal? Robert Parrish?
Robert Parrish, yeah.
Great, but not
Fred.
Yankees do it
Fred.
The right way.
Fred.
As much as I hate
Hall
him.
Hall of Fame.
I understand, and I think I have a problem with that too, though, Paul.
But if you're in the Hall of Fame, how can you not say he was not great?
No, and I understand it, but I also have a problem with the Hall of Fame inductions as well.
Well, you shouldn't have a problem with Robert Parrish being in the NBA Hall of Fame.
I do.
Fred's consistent with all this. There's no dynasties. There's no Hall of Fame players. There's
no
retired.
No, I think there
numbers.
Are, but they have to be.
There's too many numbers retired by teams.
The immortals.
See, I agree with that. I just don't think the Celtics are necessarily one.
I don't know much about the Celtics, so
the Celtics,
a lot of numbers
I mean, besides my boy Reggie, I mean, there's not really
just
very
die
many.
And they retire, yeah.
There's not very many examples of guys that aren't in the Hall of Fame that are retired.
Well, I know, but it starts, I guess, then with the Hall of Fame for me. I think too many guys get in that shouldn't. You have to be immortal. I think that's a great word, immortal. Cedric Maxwell is not an immortal NBA basketball
player.
Well,
he's one example.
Paul, let me get your opinion on this, since you're a big Reggie Lewis fan. The whole Stingley-Tatum debate started when somebody said Daryl Stingley's number should be retired, and I am totally against that.
Daryl Stingley's number shouldn't be retired.
All right.
He says, today
I don't think Reggie Lewis's number should be retired for the Celtics.
Well,
I mean,
Northeastern, obviously.
Today, retiring the jersey is more like expunging the memory of the former great player, as there is nothing to cause any recall. It's almost like the way the totalitarians used to make disfavored people into unpersons, expunging any reference to them and causing them to disappear. That is hardly an honor. So what he's saying is you retire their name You know,
what about just the regular Ring of Honor?
Ring of Honor. 12
Brady. Like,
yeah. Ring of Honor is the way around this. So you can retire a name,
yeah.
A number, ostensibly, but it's still able to be worn.
And it gets recognition, because when we go to the away press box, I turn to Paul and go, who is that guy, Paul? And Paul tells me.
And I think that's a rare occasion.
Kansas City, it's that anyone who's ever played for the team.
True. It's a rare occasion when you get a guy like a Babe Ruth or a John Elway, and the team wants...
He just put Babe Ruth and John Elway in the same sentence.
I did that for you, Paul.
Paul and Andy. Say Brady wins another Super Bowl or two. Don't you think that type of player, I mean, would you want to see, do you think Patriot fans would ever want to see number 12 being worn again by anybody?
Especially this franchise. He turned it around, won the Super Bowls, everything. He could be
see,
retired.
I agree that Brady deserves that honor. It doesn't bother me. The whole number thing, the retiring, like it's not, I mean, as much as I love Bledsoe, it's not going to bother me in 2 years when someone eventually is going to wear number 11.
Right.
I don't care. Doesn't mean that Bledsoe didn't wear 11, and in 2 years from now, if someone's wearing 12, well, you know, let's go 10 years from now, you know, make sure that Brady had a a lot more years with the Patriots, it's not going to make me forget that Brady was number 12.
But wouldn't Bledsoe be in the Ring of Honor?
Yeah, probably.
I mean,
probably. But I
think he should be.
And this is a way to set aside a Brady. He is retired. The rest are just Ring of Honor.
Right, right.
I mean, the Red Sox, I think the Red Sox had it right for a long time when they had, what, four numbers?
Yeah, and now they have Carlton Fisk, which I question.
Which made it fraudulent, because I don't think he should be retired. I don't like that one.
Well, I can definitely see the argument for that against Fisk because he left. Finn, he left for so long.
Right.
It wasn't like Clemens, I think, should be retired by the Red Sox. The majority of his body of work was with the Red Sox, and he was great. He goes in the Hall of Fame. That to me, the Hall of Fame is the only thing that I think should be one of those
automatics.
The Clemens
one is tough, and we're also – the Clemens thing brings up the point – in this day and age, how do you do it when a guy plays five good years and then plays four for somebody else?
Right, well, that's why it's
what
tough.
Does that do to the whole?
And I think that's why it's
so what are you saying? He has to play his whole career with one team to get
But what if you have four or five great years from a guy, but he has five or six great years somewhere
what
else,
if he
too?
Had 12 great years with the team?
Then he's a member of the team.
But that's what Clemens did.
I'm not talking about Clemens specifically. I'm talking about the new generation of sports where guys move on.
Yeah, right. And that's why I'm saying.
Does Manny Ramirez not get his number retired in Cleveland, or does he get it retired in both, or not in Boston because he'll start it in Cleveland?
See, I think that's why.
Like
that's
Pedro
why,
Martinez.
But that's why I disagree with Carlton Fisk, because I think that he had 10 or 11 good years in Boston and 10 or 11 good years in Chicago.
But that's my point.
I don't really see.
But so you're saying Clemens is Boston because he had New York, Houston, Toronto, elsewhere. He had if those were all on one team, what would you say?
That's now that makes it a tougher.
What would
but, a
tougher
but
you're
going to
have more of those.
Point.
You're going to have more of those as the years go on.
And I think it should be an individual case by case basis. But Clemens, the larger body of work was Boston.
Right. I have no problem with that.
If he was
with
just
him.
In Toronto all of these years,
I probably wouldn't retire him. But I understand your logic.
Now you have an argument to say, well, I don't know, he might have been better with Toronto.
But my only point is, I think it's going to happen more now with free agency in all the sports. You know, Adam Vinatieri. What if he wins three Super Bowls in Indy? Do they retire it here? Do they retire it there? Do they retire
both? And that's
why
I'm saying I don't think that these rules that are in place are good ones, because I don't think that you should have rules because everybody's different. There's a different case to be made for everybody, and you just made the perfect one because nowadays with free agency in all sports. It's a rarity to have a guy play 10-plus years with one franchise. That doesn't happen that much anymore in any of the four sports.
All right.
So you never retire any numbers, I say. I agree with Fred.
Case by case.
Jamie in Houston must be a frequent listener because I haven't even given out the phone number and he's called in. Jamie, how you doing?
I'm a bad host.
You forgetting about me already, Fred?
No, I'm never forgetting about you. How you doing?
I'm all right, guys. You're killing me with the Robert Parrish thing. You're getting down on the Chief? You got no love for the Chief?
I
Fred?
Love
you're
the Chief,
me,
but
Jamie,
have,
you didn't hear me talking that kind of nonsense.
I have a very high standard for retired numbers in Hall of Fame inductees.
Speaking of high.
Yeah.
Well,
the Chief. Absolutely.
So what's on your agenda today?
Not a whole lot. Just
okay, thanks for calling. No, I'm only kidding.
I see how it goes. You can't fight City Hall. Can't fight the top guy of the show.
How's Mario Williams doing? Living up to that pick yet?
I don't know. What do you guys think about that? Are you hearing anything down here in Houston? I mean, we've moved on. I think most folks are pretty aloof about it, and we just hope that it ends up, you know, history will tell us that it was, you know,
so no one
a wise thing to do or not. You know,
well what about the whole GM thing? Did Charlie Casserly make that pick?
Well, I mean, he was definitely he was in the regime. I got to think that he was a big part of that.
Or is he just because I know he did the great job of talking about the Colts and you play him every year and you got to start with defense if you want to stop the Colts and blah blah blah. But now he's out of a job. Although I guess he's sort of helping out pick his successor as well. So it's kind of a strange situation down there.
Charlie Casserly seems to be like the kind of guy who thinks he's working at a place and really isn't.
Like Costanza?
Costanza.
Yeah, exactly.
Is that Casserly over there?
Is that Casserly?
He's named himself a candidate for an NFL office job, and no one at the NFL seems to know what he's talking about.
That's true.
Well, that is the word that he left here because he's got some kind of NFL head office job.
Yeah,
I think he left there because they told him to get the hell out.
It's news to 450 Park Avenue. They don't know anything about it.
Yeah, no, I didn't. I haven't been following a whole lot, so that's kind of news to me. But you know, the rumor is, or at least my speculation is that you know Reggie was just potentially having too much baggage and looking for just too much outrageous money right up front. And you know, Texans are pretty conservative. And
I think it all came down to money.
Yeah.
I think you'll regret that.
I don't think it came down to money because I think Mario Williams got roughly the maximum that you can get.
And the other thing is...
But I think Reggie wanted more.
Yeah, but
more than maximum.
Fellas, can we all agree the old adage? Can we all agree to the old adage that when somebody says it isn't about the money, then it's about the money?
Yeah, no, yes. I would wholeheartedly agree with that. But there are rules in place with this salary cap and the collective bargaining agreement that put a cap on the amount of money he could get. And Mario Williams got pretty darn near that cap. It's just like, to me, it's no different than Reggie Bush will not be allowed to wear number 5. There are rules in place.
So you actually think that Mario Williams, at the end of the day, is going to be a better NFL player than Reggie Bush?
Do I think that? God, no.
You think they thought that?
I think that they think, number one, it was a football thing, and number two, they felt what Jamie just said, that there was perhaps a little bit of baggage here with Bush and the whole thing with USC.
Well, I think that, I would take...
He's not quite the squeaky clean guy that he was kind of purported to be.
Everyone in the world thinks that Reggie Bush is great, except for the Texans, apparently.
Yeah,
I can't believe that.
Quite a bit of laughingstock right
now. I think it had more to do with the baggage.
To make him an even bigger laughingstock, Dominic Davis is recovering very slowly from his injury. They don't even know if he's going to be ready for training camp now, and that was the big thing. Well, we got Dominic Davis.
And they have that solid 800-yard a year back. I don't know what you're looking for someone else. I don't know what you're looking for the next Gale Sayers for. You got a guy to get 842 yards for you.
I mean, all you have to do is read Mel Kiper's book, and you'll know that you should have picked Reggie Bush.
But, I mean,
thanks, Fred.
You're laughing, Fred, but that seems to be the, I mean, not that anybody knows for sure what's going to happen, but that seems to be the majority opinion league-wide, is that they passed up on a once-in-a-lifetime special kind of player for a guy who may or may not be that good.
Right. And I share that opinion.
You know,
what you're supposed to do with the first pick. When LeBron James comes, say, I'll take him.
Now, Shaq, I'll take him.
Exactly.
You could make an argument and say, look, you know, some people have said that Mario Williams kind of compares a little bit to Richard Seymour. The Jets were thinking about taking him.
But if Richard Seymour and Reggie Bush were available, I'd take Reggie Bush.
If Reggie Bush is as good as he's supposed to be, you take Richard.
What I was going to ask you is, would you take Richard Seymour or LaDainian Tomlinson?
Tomlinson.
I think there's a good argument to be made there. I'm not saying who I would pick. I would, you know, but I think you could make a good argument.
Tomlinson.
But everyone's saying that Bush is going to be even better than Tomlinson.
Using the best back, in my opinion, probably the best, most versatile back right now, like a Reggie Bush, as compared to Richard Seymour,
who were in the same draft.
You know,
Yeah, I'll go on the record, guys. I mean, you've got to look at the whole picture too. I mean, I don't care how phenomenal a prospect is. You got to look at the line and the team around him, and Reggie Bush, no matter who he's for, he still needs a line. And I don't think he'll be. I mean, we were all talking about Ricky Williams. Ricky Williams was the next this or the next that, and look what happened to Ricky. And you know, I think that we just
took
that in mind.
I'll take 1,800 yards.
Ricky was good until Ricky ended Ricky.
And the thing about about that line is they're almost all new starters. They have a new blocking scheme down there. So this whole thing about I'm hearing about the Texans line, it's not last year's Texans line. It's totally different.
And
they have a new scheme, and Reggie Bush does not need that big of a hole to
get
free.
I think if you just put them out there and flip-flop Dominic Davis for Reggie Bush, the linemen go, holy crap, he's already through the hole? I only have to block for that long? Usually Davis takes 3 more steps.
But it's interesting to get Jamie's perspective being in Houston to try to, you know, kind of, I guess they've moved on. They don't really even think about it anymore.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there wasn't much of a hangover to begin with, and again, there's not much.
I would have to guess that would be an ongoing soap opera saga on local talk radio here.
Well, they're so close, too.
Well,
Houston
again,
and New Orleans are
still this was happening here. I mean, don't you think that would still be an everyday thing?
Absolutely.
There'd be shots taken at the Patriots?
They're still talking about Bronson Arroyo and Willie Mo Pena.
Yeah, this is Houston. We're a little bit more laid back with our sports than up up home.
Another local update is Clemens going to Houston or what? What's the deal?
He's. I think it's a matter of hours. Doesn't he have to declare? I've kind of lost track of that, and I'm not a big Clemens fan. Again, being from Boston and seeing him in '85 and all that, I thought he laid down the last couple seasons. A lot of people did in Boston, and he went to Toronto and finally woke up because he was getting some money. So, you know, I could care less about Clemens and where he retires his numbers and where he goes in the Hall of Fame with. But I don't know.
All right.
I don't know.
We'll see you then, Jamie.
Yeah. Well, hey, you know,
didn't mean to tick you off with that one.
It's all right. Well, it's all right.
Just walk away slowly, okay?
I don't like him.
All right.
Wow.
I haven't cared for Roger, but I don't know. If he goes anywhere, I mean, he's going to get $18 million for half a season. How can you walk away from that?
That's true. That's true.
All right. Jamie.
All right, later on, guys.
Jamie in Houston. And by the way, the phone number is 508-543-7482.
An hour and 40 minutes into the show.
Anyone else that wants to call
in? I almost called you last week.
Really?
When I was...
busy?
When I was I was playing golf.
Okay.
For the golf tournament.
Wow.
Down at Pine Hills, Fred.
Pine Hills. Have I played there?
I don't know. My guess is.
Oh, no, that's the development. That's beautiful,
it's,
right?
It's pretty nice.
Some nice homes there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Email address is webradio@patriots.com, webradio@patriots.com, 508-543-7482. Jason says, good show as always. He's wondering about punt returners and kick returners. Who it's going to be? Let's see. Is Bethel on his way out? Is Maroney going to do it? Hobbs, Jackson, Andrew, Smith, others, I'm sure. What are your thoughts about the battle? As far as punt returners go, it's a much different story. Troy can be used, but new blood is needed. So who's that going to be? He's wondering. Don't
who's
wish
Smith?
To open a can of worms.
Anybody?
What?
Smith?
Zuriel?
Oh, Zuriel Smith.
You couldn't remember him?
Sorry.
Don't wish to open a can of worms, but read somewhere about how Holmgren and his coaches met with some NFL officials about the officiating. They were low-key, not as demonstrative maybe as they would be, and it was pointed out that because of that, they may even get some breaks this year. I have a problem with that admission in view. Doesn't that basically say that officials hold grudges and that they are slanted? Isn't this far from what unbiased and professional officials need to be? Is there a sort of groupthink by officials? Is that not something that needs to be probed? Or is this just business as usual, the NFL slanting the field as it wishes? Just think that the NFL needs to clean up the mess it has. Well, I did hear about that, and it's funny. I got a copy of the DVD that the Seattle Seahawks made for the season ticket holders. It was a complimentary one. They just mailed it out, and it was just a season recap. But when it gets to the Super Bowl, they make allusions like, you know, some things are sometimes out of your control, and then you see a penalty flag. You know, there's obviously this was made before they had that meeting. There's obviously talking about the fact that they thought they were robbed.
Yeah, and I've read some of the stories, too. I know Peter King wrote about it, and I read Pro Football Talk with Mike Florio kind of recapping that. And they weren't saying that the Seahawks are going to get preferential treatment. They were saying that it was a good move on their part to bury it.
Right.
You know, and they had an amicable meeting, and it was a productive meeting. In other words, they aired their grievances in the right way.
Right.
Who's they?
The Seahawks.
With
the officials.
Mike Pereira was there. Oh, okay. Yeah.
And, you know, actually, this is the stuff that Mike Florio, I printed it out. Just he actually says that it may have been a good thing, you know, Holmgren won't have to worry about the Zebras going out of their way to stick it to his team as he tries to take the franchise one level higher. Heck, the officials might even subconsciously think that they owe him a few close ones. Well, that's Mike Florio's
opinion
yeah, right. And kind of, you know, just assessing the whole situation. That's not like the officials coming out, Mike Pereira's department coming out and saying, look, you know, obviously we're going to look at these guys in a more favorable light. I mean, can we just put past the officials make mistakes. No one points them out more than I do. I hate officials. Okay? I'm the first one to jump on what I think is a bad call. I'm still talking about that Asante Samuel pass interference from Denver. Okay? No one bashes officials more than I do. But can we all be in agreement that the game is on the up and up? Mm-hmm. It's not fixed. It's not an agenda against one team or the other.
If it is fixed, you'd have to get to a player. You'd have to get to
Mike Vanderjagt,
like a cornerback, someone who could give up a touchdown. The officials fixing a game is so obvious that right. It would come under scrutiny. So I don't think even if you were going to fix a game, you would go to the officials. I think you would go to a player that you were close to and you knew you could get to take a dive for you. If you go to the officials and want to fix a game and they don't want to do it, you're going to prison.
Right.
So it would have to be, in order to fix a game, they do it with someone that they know closely. They don't just go out and go to the officials and say, hey, let's fix the Super Bowl. And it doesn't work that way. It just doesn't.
Yeah. Sounds like Tom has firsthand knowledge of this.
Well, I know
I
because
agree.
The guy from Arizona State,
yeah,
the kid who
threw basketball player.
Points, he was close to people who – that's how it gets done. It's not like they just go up to Tom Brady and say, right. Hey, listen, you know, we're going to put a lot of money on the Dolphins here. You think you throw a couple picks for us? It doesn't
right.
work that way because Tom Brady would turn them into the authorities.
Right.
And the only other thing
he's
I would say
going to the pokey.
There's no – I mean, you meet with Pereira. He's not going to issue some sort of screw the Seahawks memo to all the officials. I mean, these are individual
human
beings.
They also meet with every team, by the way.
Right.
The officials, Pereira and his group, they do that with every team. It was just a high-profile thing with Seattle because of how outspoken the Seahawks have been – by how they felt like they
but
got
my
screwed.
Point is, that's just a small group. They're not controlling how every... And there may be a guy who hates Mike Holmgren, and if there's a close call, he calls it against him, because they're human beings.
They're human beings.
And
right.
Don't tell me that that doesn't happen.
But
that
the guy,
stuff, like,
only on close calls,
because
no one's going
to
screw themselves by losing their job.
You ever see the way the head coach will butter up the officials before the game?
Exactly.
There's a reason that they do that.
Humans.
And the officials...
And keep track of how the officials call games.
Right.
The emailers seem to think that that's, you know, it's like an impropriety or something. That's just, it's human nature.
Right.
I mean, you can't help but have some sort of preconceived notion going into whatever, you know, line of business you're doing. But for an official, sure, it's not a conscious thing. It's not like, if I get a chance today, I'm going to really stick it to Belichick because he's really been riding me hard. The last two times I did their games, he did nothing but scream at me. I'm going to give him a bad spot on the first down.
Right.
You can't do that. But
you're out of the game.
So maybe at some point there might be a call that's really close, and subconsciously, hey, I'm going against the guy that's been screaming at me for three quarters. I don't know. But that has to happen.
It could.
Until you have lasers, that's
there,
all
there
part
are makeup
of it. Human
calls,
element.
I mean, just watch a baseball game with balls and strikes.
Definitely.
Oh, well,
I mean, God, you can't help it. It's such a subjective thing. You miss one, and you know you got to know you miss one. Now the next one might be a baseball out more outside, and you call that one a strike because
well,
feel like you owe
baseball.
Them.
You know, if you show up the ump, you get thrown out of the game. You can't even do that, right?
The umpires in baseball do run amok.
Themselves the show.
They run amok with power.
And as David Ortiz says, you're not the show. I'm the show.
As David Ortiz says when he throws the bat at the guy.
Josh from East Calais, Vermont, he wants to know what makes a player the mic, a linebacker. What makes a linebacker?
So what makes the inside guy in the 3-4, there's two inside guys, which make what makes one of them the mic?
Guy, the middle linebacker. Yeah.
Go ahead, Andy.
The strong side guy, the middle linebacker. The strong side inside linebacker is the mic, makes the calls, goes to the tight end side generally, or strength of formation, and is considered the more powerful, run-stopping, take-on-guards, the guy one on the strong side of the formation.
Well, you got Will, Sam, Mike. What's the other inside guy called?
No, Will...
Will is weak side. Sam is strong side.
Yeah,
and a 4-3.
But the Will in the Patriot system is an
inside
guy.
Right.
The Sam, and I think they call the other one Jack.
I believe it is Jack.
Okay.
And those are the two outside guys.
Okay. And a 4-3, it's just Will, Mike, Sam.
Right.
As some reporters would be more than gladly to talk with Bill Belichick about when he's asking
right.
questions.
And,
Checkdowns are tough throws for guys our height. Because you're going around people. You're trying to get it from me to you with someone between
still
us.
Going.
This was after it went off the air because I was home that day watching this press conference on TV. I don't even remember that.
Rob is from Arlington, Virginia. He says, I've read Raven Trone's report regularly. So you're the one. Oh, no.
Hey, Rob.
But how?
You're a loser.
No.
Just kidding.
But how are the other Patriots allocated players in Europe doing? Do you think a team like... Okay, so that's one question.
We'll have an update on that in the next issue of PFW. Our European correspondent, Fred, Michael Preston.
Mike Preston.
Yes.
It's amazing that we have a European correspondent.
He is at the World Bowl festivities right now.
Does he work out of the PFW
Germany, right?
European news desk? Do we have one? How many desks do we have?
Yeah, we have a desk out there.
We have this one and the one upstairs.
Satellite offices
he's
all over
the bureau
world.
Chief.
He will be giving a recap of the World Bowl and the Patriots, all the Patriots allocations their seasons.
The only World Bowl guy is Roll, right?
Yeah, and not many high-profile guys, obviously. Let's face it, Ray Van Tron was probably the highest-profile guy we had over there, so... Not a lot of excitement or glamour to the Patriots allocations, but Mike Preston will have a recap of the Patriots' presence in Europe this past week.
Popping your peas. Who is in the World Bowl?
I don't know.
It's
And I don't even need the team names. You give me like a famous player on each team.
I believe it's Amsterdam and
Jeff
somebody
Roll.
Else.
Is like Drew Henson or any
No, Drew. I don't think Ryan made it. I think it might be Frankfurt and Amsterdam. If someone knows, you can email in. I'm pretty sure Amsterdam is in for sure.
Second question, do you think a team like Buffalo or New Orleans will move to Los Angeles, or will the NFL grant a new team? I think it will be a team that moves.
Yeah.
It certainly looks that way now. I read an interesting thing on Pro Football Talk, had a link from a story that emanated from Forbes magazine, kind of calling Ralph Wilson out, saying that he was not necessarily forthcoming with the whole I can't make money. They made somewhere in the neighborhood of $36 million last year. And an expert from Forbes estimated that unless they got really, really exorbitant with signing bonuses. There's no way that that team won't make money. And then they talked about other revenue streams that they're not even addressing yet, like stadium naming rights that we talked about. They estimated at the very minimum between $2 and $4 million they could make in addition to what they do now instead of calling it Ralph Wilson Stadium.
I
think that the demise of the Bills, I think, is greatly exaggerated.
I think they just don't understand.
It's a very complex proposal.
He's on that committee.
I really didn't understand it.
That was Paul speaking at the meeting.
That didn't happen.
It's a very complex proposal, and I really didn't understand it.
Third question. If the Pats don't get Fiedler,
I was a dropout, which veteran, am.
Which veteran quarterback would you like besides him? Kerry Collins, Tommy Maddox, Jeff Blake, Tony Banks, Shane Matthews, or someone else?
I would go with Kerry Collins.
I wouldn't mind Jeff Blake.
Why?
I think Jeff Blake has some skills. I think he could do some things.
I think Tommy Maddox would be okay because I think Maddox has accepted his role as a backup quarterback in this league. I don't think he's trying to go anywhere to be a starter. Obviously,
his poor performance last year would really
scare
me.
I know, but he sucked last year. He did suck, but I'm thinking of a 3-4 game stretch. I don't think Blake is a bad option either.
Isn't Blake a throw deep guy?
He does throw a good deep ball, yeah.
You know, but
isn't that like the strength of his game?
About, I think Blake is heading downhill, though. Maybe it's his arm, because teams just don't even want to touch him anymore. They get him for a year, then he's gone. You know what
he's
I
gone.
Mean? He's kind of – but, you know, it's tough.
But he's clearly not looking to be a starter either.
No.
Shane Matthews might be a guy, too, who seems to kind of fit that Patriots
right.
mold.
And like we said – this is basically we're looking for a 3-4 game stretch. If Brady goes down for a significant time, it's going to be Castle in there playing quarterback, and we're going to have to look towards next season.
Come opening day, I would like to see whoever the quarterback that is not on the roster right now, I would like to hear the pregame announcement say that that person is the emergency quarterback. I think that would be a good sign for the Patriots.
Which player of the following list of players will get the most playing time on the defense this year? Tully Bannacane, Freddie Roach, Eric Alexander, Pierre Woods, Barry Gardner, Jeremy Lloyd, or Corey Mays?
None of the above. I'll go with Alexander.
Okay.
I'm going none of the above.
The most
yeah.
defense out of that crew.
Right. They could all have none.
I'll go with Barry Gardner.
I think like four plays gets that ranked one.
I think that could be a very, 5 to 4 to 3 to 2 plays per game, ratio.
The reason
I don't
I'm going with
guys.
Alexander is because I think he's a player that might have some upside that maybe
he does. I think you're right
because we already know what Tully Bannacane has, and it ain't anything good. So,
okay.
Well, we haven't seen anything, that's for sure.
Alejandro writes it, and he's from Bogota. He wants to make sure it's
Colombia.
He's not in Bogota this week.
Yeah. Bogota.
You know, for a guy that is worldly as you are, I can't believe that you mispronounced that.
That's Colombia, right?
Yeah. I wanted to ask about Rodney Harrison.
He could tell me what the production would be on approximately a 2-acre field if I wanted to go in the drug business.
I wanted to ask about Rodney Harrison's arrival in New England prior to the 2003 season. While, as far as I remember, Lawyer Malloy was still the starting strong safety for the Patriots. How did you report that signing back then?
Hey, man, that's very poor to me.
Did you anticipate any kind of problem with Malloy? I just want to know if the free agent signings are any indicator of a near future cut.
I'm a playmaker, man.
No.
No. There was no indication of any feud. I think that the one thing that we asked...
Oh, no, it wasn't a feud.
No, but the one thing that was asked immediately when Rodney signed was we were still talking in terms of free safety and strong safety,
right.
And that's when Belichick first kind of got it out there. We don't do that. We have left safety and right safety.
Right.
And
remember, it was coming off the whole big nickel experiment where
right,
you had
that failed
extra
miserably.
Safeties and stuff. So,
and so that whole left-right thing satisfied the local media, as far as I can remember. Certainly satisfied me. Not that I matter, but I mean,
and Bill are like.
Do you remember anybody writing these stories? What did they go out and get Rodney Harrison for? They already have Lawyer Malloy. I don't remember anybody really writing that.
Well, that's why they wrote it, because they were so similar in style.
Bill explained that
right.
they could play together
right.
and they would play together, and that
right.
was the plan.
But people raised the question of, will it succeed?
Right.
Are these guys too similar? Do they both want to be at the line of scrimmage? Who's going to be
But it was never a preseason thought that one of these guys might be out of a job.
The only preseason thought was that they knew that either Law or Malloy would probably, or they were thinking they'd be gone because they both had
after
big...
That
not
year.
That year. After that year.
After that
year. That took everybody completely
stunned
by surprise.
shock.
Well, once it got that far, I think it was
nobody
a shock.
Knew then.
No, it was the
right.
year
nobody
after.
Nobody knew that was even going on.
We had talked about this is probably our last
right,
year together.
Right, right.
This
right.
that year though, they didn't expect Lawyer
when,
to be gone.
When they
that
released
time.
Lawyer Malloy, that came completely out of left field. No one had any inkling that was. I'm telling you, Fred, that no one had
I,
any
I'm
idea.
I'm not denying it. What,
I think and, you are denying it a little bit because you hate Lawyer Malloy. You think that he's just you know eminently
Paul,
getting cut every minute.
I don't hate anyone. I don't hate anyone.
And
very strong.
They
word.
Could have played together because Dallas did a similar thing.
The
with
Dude
Woodson
Man,
and,
Dave
Roy
Dudek,
Williams when he was drafted, they were both big, you know, close.
They were
going to
play together. That was the plan.
So,
but
Roy Williams is a cover
lawyer,
guy.
Yeah. Lawyer wouldn't take less money. Right. Otherwise, they would have played together.
So I don't.
Lawyer
I,
took that contract, they would have played right. together, and Eugene Wilson probably would still be a cornerback.
Jim from Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina. I heard that the Patriots might be getting some linebacker help either through some late offseason signings and or by picking someone in the supplemental draft. The rumors
Fred
are
Fred probably said that.
No, I
know. Bill Belichick
I know
might use
it.
A first round pick in the supplemental draft to pick University of Virginia's Ahmad Brooks.
Hell no.
May try to sign San Diego Chargers veteran Donnie Edwards either after the June 1st cut date or trade him if the Chargers decide not to cut him. I think they will have enough picks next year to not only make this deal, but also a first-rounder to pick Brooks. With the losses of so many key players this year, the Patriots should get good compensatory picks in next year's draft to help offset the losses of those picks to make
not first-round good, you can't.
My only question is that with Brooks being available and the fact that Bill is possibly interested in him, shouldn't that make other teams take more notice of him and possibly pick him ahead of the Patriots? There is also a rumor Ty Law may be leaning toward coming back. The thinking is that he wants to be on a winning team and also be on a defense that gives him opportunities to make plays, and the Patriots give him both. He may even take less money to do so. I, like many other Patriots fans, feel he should retire as a Patriot, and this move may let him do so in a 2 or 3 years.
Can I take the linebacker thing?
Sure.
Albert Breer wrote a story with no sources.
Nothing.
Nothing.
But
it was just his opinion that they were
exactly.
going to either go after Dixon.
But yeah. didn't even ever, in that story, in his defense, say the Patriots right. were interested right. in him. And everybody is now assuming the Patriots are interested
he
in him.
He just mentioned those two names, and now it's coming up that they're interested. Listen, I hate to do this to you guys, but I'll stake my job on that they will not select Brooks in the first round of the supplemental draft.
Looks like
it
we're stuck with you then.
I would have to say I'd be stunned.
I'll be stunned if anybody takes
nobody
him
will.
For a first round.
Nobody's going to do it.
But,
well, I shouldn't say that. There's dumb
you know,
teams.
And
there.
I know the story that Tom is talking Houston about. Might. And in Albert Breer, who writes Eddie for Green. The Metro West Daily News, in his defense, never in that story did he say the Patriots were interested. They
right,
would, they would do this. It was just an opinion. It was basically stating all the facts.
The rest of the Worcester Telegram and Gazette.
The guy's available and
and listing the connections, the Al Groh, and he would have been a potential first round pick had everything not gone downhill with the injury and then getting kicked off. And
I don't say, I mean, look, no one knows still that I've seen why he was kicked off the team. But I know that Bill knows because I know Bill's talked to Al Groh.
Well, that's the funny thing. Everybody says, you know, Bill and Al are close because they have that connection. Well, if Al Groh is so upset or it was such an egregious offense that he kicked him off his team, isn't he going to tell Bill what it was? And Bill will probably go, oh, that's pretty bad. Yeah, I don't really want him.
Yeah, but it might have been something that he violated the team rule and had to get kicked off the team or else Al Groh forfeits his power. It might not, you know what I'm saying? Like, let's just say that there's a violation of the rule and sure, it wasn't the first violation of a rule.
No, this guy's had some issues.
This guy's had some issues. But it might have been something that he just had to kick the guy off the team. It's not like he got caught, you know, with, you know, cocaine in his room or something like that, which obviously that would scare any NFL team away from the guy. Maybe it was just a violation of a team rule. There's some baggage there. And then Belichick decides, is it worth the baggage or not?
It's certainly not worth the first-round baggage.
No.
Well, I don't think it's worth the first-round baggage.
Had the guy had the year he had somehow and then got kicked off, in a normal draft, I don't think people would say he's a first-round pick because they're questioning
first,
all these things.
Yeah,
it's
in the SPFW about him yesterday, I called him a first-day pick. I think that's pretty safe to say that he probably would have been a first-day
yes.
pick.
Yes.
But not necessarily first-round. And
risking this pick is no more different than risking a first-round pick. It's your next year's first-round pick. So
right.
if you blow it, you blew it.
Some
you blew a first-round pick.
Some listeners may not understand how the supplemental draft works. So why don't one of you fill in
it's a bidding
quickly.
System.
Quickly
you bid.
Fill in
you
how
say,
that works.
I'm willing to go how high. And you it's
whatever
a sealed
round,
envelope.
Whatever round you pick a guy in, if the Patriots picked him in the first round, they submit it, as Andy just said, to the NFL. And if any of the teams 1 through 20 who picked before the Patriots had him as their first-round pick, the Patriots wouldn't get him. Now, if nobody in the top 20 picked him and the Patriots picked him with their first-round pick, they would get him. In turn, they would lose their first-round pick in the 2007 draft next April.
Right. And you cannot get a first-round pick via
compensation. Right.
You can get a third-round pick
round
or lower.
Third round is as high as you get. And the Patriots lost two free agents. So this is another one. The same thing happened last year. We'll be getting all of these compensatory picks.
Well,
we lost two key free agents.
They might get
Let's
a little more.
Happens.
I mean, Fourier.
Yeah, that's three.
But he's a little different. I mean,
I don't know how all the other guys count, like Chatham and all those guys. I don't know how that's all formulated.
Well, there. I mean, he wasn't cut. He's a free agent.
No, I don't know how he factors.
They're all
the
included, but. I mean, they're going to be. They get
there's
weighted
in the
formula.
There's a reason the NFL doesn't release this formula.
Right.
Because they make it up as they go.
Because it doesn't exist. A guy sits in a room and goes, "Well, we'll give him third and
a
fifth." I swear that that's how it is.
AS writes in, Alex.
I mean, for example, they lost Chatham. They signed Mel Mitchell.
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Right. But if Chatham went there to quote unquote start and starts 14 games, he becomes more valuable than you might view him as your own.
So that is, and I don't know the answer to this question before I ask it, so don't get your Andy Hart all defensive on me. How much of that formula plays into what he does as compared to what he did for you?
Oh, it's what he does, playing time.
Because
you lose
they
a guy
lose,
and he has valuable
playing time.
The Patriots
didn't lose
time.
A starter.
No,
Patriots
but
lost the special
it doesn't
team.
Matter. It,
so
no,
if he
it,
goes
it's
somewhere
more,
else,
if
he does
starts,
more?
It's the playing time he does in the
that?
Season after he leaves.
Where did you see that? Because I've never seen anything explaining
that's
that
that's always
formula.
How I've seen it explained.
I've never
but
seen anything explaining
it,
the formula.
But does it also have to do something with a formal offer that you make the free agent? I mean, if you never make it...
I've never seen that either.
If you never
I've
make
never
an offer
that.
To the free agent, you know, that's different than you made an offer, but this other team paid and you lost them.
I've never seen that.
You know, based on that, Andy, they obviously there's no way. For example, and I know McGinnis doesn't count because they released McGinnis, but there's no way McGinnis is going to do more in Cleveland than he did with the Patriots last
year. Right.
So would that mean he would be a lesser compensatory pick?
No, because I don't think it's necessarily a comparison of value. It's a value. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know how it works.
That's
why I think it's a.
If he's a starting outside linebacker with,
they don't tell you.
If he's a starting outside linebacker with 10 sacks, he has a high
value.
That would
be more than he did with the Patriots.
Well, whatever.
Maybe we'll have to ask Patriots Council. Maybe they'll give us an answer on how that works.
Yeah, good luck with that.
I don't think you're going to get much from Matt Chatham though, because he stinks. If he's got a problem with me, I'll meet him
in the Jets
locker room. And then he can shut my mouth.
The Jets stink too.
But if Andy's right, and he all of a sudden goes there, and he might have more, he might be like Bobby Hamilton. You know, he might just have more, like when Bobby Hamilton came to the Patriots, he had much more value for the Patriots.
The only guy who rushes the passer by staying at the line of scrimmage.
Right. He had much more value for the Patriots than he did with the Jets when they had changed the system. Matt Chatham could go to that new system and know that much better than some other guys that might have more talent than he does. And he may play 16 games on defense, which he's never done in his past. Does that give you like a...
I wouldn't say that. He might want to kick your ass like he does me.
You know... I didn't necessarily call him out like you.
Well, you
never called him
you
out.
You said Chad Greenway would never be anything. He's like Matt Chatham is what you basically said.
No, I said he's more like Matt Chatham than somebody else. And Matt Chatham played here for 6 years. He, I don't believe, started a game. He played on special teams. Is that my fault or is that Matt Chatham's fault?
I think because, he started one game, didn't he?
Because to me it sounds like it's Matt Chatham's fault, and I'm just saying what he is, a special teams player and a backup
linebacker.
You could
linebacker. Look at that as a compliment to Matt Chatham that he's being compared favorably to a first-round pick.
Oh, I'm not sure it was favorably. I think he was
you're
Chad
being
Greenway is closer to Chatham was the negative,
and he's
not
a first,
the positive.
But he's a first-round pick. So if you're Matt Chatham, you could look at the positive side of that and say, hey, he's comparing me to a guy who's going in the first round, mid-first round.
You got a career in PR.
Alex writes in, just another bite about Doug Flutie's consideration for the Hall of Fame. In fact, it's a question.
In year one,
isn't it supposed to be the Pro Football Hall of Fame? So why don't other leagues get any consideration when the voting takes place? And given the bias of recent voting, it should be called the Offensive Super Bowl Hall of Fame.
First, these guys that are real good athletes are going to
start
to regress.
Thomas left the building.
I want an example of a guy.
The regression reads, but then they'll...
Thanks, Doug. I want an example of a guy who got into the Hall of Fame. And I don't know the answer to this. There may be plenty of them.
There aren't any.
But just a guy who got into the Hall of Fame for just the CFL.
Yeah, there isn't one.
because that's what you'd be putting him in the Hall of Fame for. You wouldn't be putting him in the Hall of Fame for his USFL, NFL,
and
CFL.
We talked about this last week.
Because he didn't really have any extended success.
We talked about this last week. It is the Pro Football Hall of Fame. However, it's for the best football players, and the best football players play in the NFL. So if all you did was play in the CFL, how could you ever be considered one of the best pro football players?
Now, I have no problem with including your work in other pro leagues.
Like Warren Moon.
Okay, but he also excelled in the NFL.
Among the best.
Doug Flutie, by even Flutie supporters' standards, I think, maybe had two, possibly three, solid NFL seasons. That's not a Hall of Fame career. He played reasonably well in his first stint with the Patriots back in 88 or whatever, when they won a couple of games, although his statistics were terrible. They just happened to win the games. He had a good year in Buffalo his first year back when he took over for Rob Johnson, but then was playing so badly down the stretch that he lost his job going into the playoffs.
Shouldn't have.
Maybe he shouldn't have, but the fact remains that yet another guy had it out for little Dougie and decided, you know, I don't want to win a playoff game. I'll go with the guy who I think gives me the second best chance to win. Anyway, that's all he did in the NFL. What else did he do?
Look, if they have a Canadian football league, which I think they do, he should definitely get into
college football Hall of Fame.
Yep.
Absolutely belongs there.
Does he?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Heisman Trophy winner.
Okay.
Lifted Boston College to like the fourth team in the country.
Okay.
Come on.
All right.
Fred, I hate, but come on.
All right. Let's see. Robert from Bowie, Maryland. Last winter, when both the Patriots and Redskins were both in the playoffs, my son's kindergarten school had a support the Redskins day where all the kids in his class would wear Redskins gear. Not being a Redskin fan and a huge Patriot fan in Bowie, Maryland, I sent him to school in his Patriot gear, and he got his ass... No. But he was kicked out of the picture by the school's teacher. I'm glad sportsmanship is being taught in the Bowie, Maryland school system.
Wow, that's not right.
Well, I know that in my kid's school they did a Patriots, you know, so I guess
you live in New England.
A lot. No, I'm just saying I don't know what would have happened.
Did they kick out a Redskin fan?
Yeah, I don't know what would have happened if a kid did do that.
Well, as we've all learned from news recently, and by the fact that I get a job in the profession, teachers aren't like all living up to these great standards. We
that's
get
why
teachers...
you left the profession.
Exactly. I was above it. And while I'm excited,
I mean, we have teachers.
The stuff lately, the teachers who you pay them a buck and you don't have to take gym class, or the teacher that's doing porn, or you know, there's every week there's a teacher sleeping with a kid. There's
Is that
a,
wrong? What? Teachers doing porn?
Well, I didn't really have a problem with it because it was 20 years ago. She was old porn.
I got to plead ignorance.
Kind of hot, too.
What, how about the one that slept with the student?
Which one? There's like a dozen.
But this one particular.
The hot one, the blonde?
Debbie, which one isn't Deb? Deb.
What happened?
Forget her name.
Debbie,
I was in the
here.
Fifth grade.
Some kid got taken out of a picture for what?
Yeah, in Maryland, they had
support
during the playoffs last year, Support the Redskins Day, so everybody wore Redskins stuff, but this guy's a Patriots fan, so he sent his son, he's not
in
a Redskins
Patriots
fan, sent his son to school with Patriots gear on, and they wouldn't let him be in a picture. The teacher kept him out of
That's
a picture.
Disgraceful.
I agree.
Teachers are a joke. All of them.
Listen, it's sports. Get real, right. For Christ's sake.
It's supposed to be fun.
Phil from Austin, Freddie says, in the education of a coach, one of the things that David Halberstam mentioned about Steve Belichick was the way he never bought anything on credit. If one assumes that Bill adopted a similar economic philosophy, then it must have killed him last year to be so constrained by the cap, particularly late in the year. Maybe one of the reasons why Bill is keeping so much cap space for 2006 is that he doesn't want the cap to prevent him from signing or cutting anyone. By keeping enough cap room to be able to absorb the cap hit from cutting anyone, do you think he's sending some sort of message to Corey Dillon?
I agree that Belichick's philosophy is not to shop on the credit card, but I don't think that had anything to do with last year. I mean, if they needed players, they didn't have the cap room to sign them. That's not putting off cap room. They didn't have the cap room to re-sign.
The emailer is saying he doesn't want to be in that position again.
So that's why he's leaving a lot of money.
But what
does that have to do with credit? I don't understand. Cap constraints are cap constraints every year.
Right.
It has nothing to do with credit. What Belichick wanted to do when he came here, and you remember, Fred, back at the old Patriots Club, he talked at length about this that first week when he was here, about the credit card philosophy, and one of the biggest things that he wanted to avoid was the situation they were in at the time, was having guys in the future tying up a lot of cap space, and he called it dead money and the credit card thing, and you remember immediately it was flushing out Chris Slade, Bruce Armstrong, although they ended up re-signing him. You know, and we've seen it countless times since then. Drew Bledsoe, Ty Law, Lawyer Malloy didn't want these big numbers down the road when the guys weren't playing to that level anymore. And I think that's the same case every year. I don't think it – last year you had all the guys hurt, but I don't think it was a fear of the future cap hits that were –
And it wasn't big guy. I mean, Dwayne Starks, $3 million. You know, Tyrone Poole, a couple million dollars.
Yeah, it was injured. Now, I understand his point. He doesn't want to get in a situation where he can't re-sign guys, so he doesn't want to be right up against the cap. But that's going to happen. Right. They're going to be right up against the cap.
They didn't have every Ty Law last year because they cut him because the cap number was too big.
I mean, almost every team, once the season gets underway and you get into the season, you're at the cap. I mean, you get your draft pick signed. All your free agents are in-house. Your practice squad is set. You're getting to the cap. I mean, even the Cardinals do that.
Let's see. Louis wants to call us out for not having passports. He says, where do you spend your holidays if you don't have one?
Home.
You don't feel any curiosity about how the world outside the U.S.
Sorry, Louis, but I'm not bleeping rich. Are you Louis Vuitton or something? What the hell is going on here?
I have no desire to go to Europe, to any island, nothing.
I do.
If I want to go on vacation, I'll go to Wildwood, New Jersey. End of story.
What's Wildwood, New Jersey?
It's a resort area.
Fred lets us go on vacation, but he says we have to be back within 3 days, so it's not really worth going anywhere.
Right now, I'm somewhere.
I have no desire to see the world. If I want to know about the world, I'll ask Fred.
Well, Paul's from Everett, so his idea of, you know, outside the country is Malden. Yeah. Let's see.
Put up, Bob.
Colin writes in, let's see, listens to the podcast every week. Thank you, because he works nights.
Nice.
Has a couple of questions. One, out of these current roster players, who is not going to make the 53-man roster?
Oh, I love these ones.
Jarvis Green, Gardner, Tabucky Jones, or Troy Brown?
Gardner.
Out of those,
If I have to pick one, Gardner.
I think there's a good chance that all four of those guys make it, though.
What's the deal with Barry Gardner? He wasn't here. I got to wait on him until next month.
Two, which of these will be a free agent pickup? Donnie Edwards, Ty Law, or David Boston?
None.
Ty Law.
Ty Law. Not David Boston.
Are you playing along? You have to pick one.
Oh, you have to pick one? Oh,
don't we have to pick one?
Right.
Ty Law.
David Boston is at the farthest end of that list as you can get.
The quarterback issue. Who will be the backup? Jay Fiedler, Shane Matthews, or Matt Cassel?
Matt Cassel.
Shane Matthews. I just wanted to be different.
Okay. That answer.
Because I'm starting to think it's Matt Cassel. The longer it goes, I mean, does the guy not have to learn the system?
I like that email.
Al says, I'm all for Jeb Bush being NFL commissioner. The NFL is so good these days, even a member of the Bush family would have a hard time screwing it up. Plus, that would presumably prevent him from running for president, which would be a great thing for America. The only potential negative about a Bush in charge of the NFL is the various equally incompetent Bush family friends would have to be hired as well. Condi Rice would be in charge of the cheerleaders and halftime entertainment, while Ronald Dumsfeld, intentional, would be in charge of the refs.
Ronald Dumsfeld.
Come to think of it, I changed my mind. Ralph Nader would make a better NFL commissioner. So there you go. A little politics here. You know?
We need very little politics here.
Why?
Because we know nothing about politics.
Are you ready for some football?
Phil.
And I'm not even sure you know about politics, but we're so dumb, we don't know if you don't know.
Phil, you could either be the greatest political analyst of all time or the worst. Paul. Andy and I wouldn't know.
Paul.
Yes, who's this from?
From Phil.
Phil.
Wasn't it Jack Tatum who smashed the palm of his hand into Russ Francis' face mask during their playoff game, breaking his chin strap and smashing his nose?
It may have. Yeah. It may have been him. I don't know.
That's a good shot.
He was a dirty player.
I think he was on the edge, yeah.
Fred, is Rodney Harrison dirty?
I bet you could find Dick Butkus doing the same thing.
You're damn right you could.
I bet you could find Jack Lambert doing the same thing.
Two great examples.
Okay.
And the further back you go, the more of them there were.
Because exactly. Now you get fined all the time.
Right.
Dan in Fairfax says, Fred, here's a little info on Robert Parrish on the all-time NBA list. Robert Parrish is 7th in rebounds, 9th in blocks, 17th in points, 20th in field goal percentage, and number one all-time in games played, as well as a 9-time All-Star. The man deserved to be in the Hall of Fame and have his number retired.
They stole my pot.
Top 20 in points, rebounds, and blocks. All time. Fred doesn't think he's an immortal.
I don't. Brian in Miami. Good to hear Perillo back in the fold after his did not play last week. Anyway, it seems that every year, or at least for the past three, an article was printed around this time of the year that addresses Bethel Johnson and his drive to become the number
two. Don't read the next PFW.
Well, if it has not happened yet...
Might
under
be a cover story.
If it has not happened yet under the Belichick regime, then I highly doubt it ever will. I get the impression that Brady does not really trust him as a possession receiver and that his only role in the team may be for the occasional go route in addition to his return job. What do you guys think? He seems to be in the doghouse every week. Does the media not have enough to write about? Bethel Johnson is not a story and should never be a story. About Bush, Reggie, not commander-in-chief or governor, he may be a once-in-a-lifetime player, see Barry Sanders' comparison, but how many championships, let alone playoff appearances, has Sanders made? I think Mario Williams...
Emmitt Smith has a few.
I think Mario Williams would be a great pick for the Texans, and I would hate
Davis have
to
any?
See Bush drafted by a team where his talents would be utilized for nothing other than to put butts in the seat.
It's that comparison is stupid. I can't stand it.
Are you telling me Barry Sanders
wasn't
good?
Sanders didn't win any Super Bowls because Wayne Fonts was the coach.
Plus, Barry Sanders
That's
went
why.
To the playoffs like almost every
yeah.
year.
Every year they were there. They went to the NFC,
let alone
they went to the NFC Championship game against a dominant Washington team where they were defeated. So it makes it sound like Barry Sanders was on this loser team for 10 years. It's not the case.
And I also think that, and we've talked about this many times, I think it's just so unfair to judge players by championships.
Yeah, Marino doesn't have one.
And just
especially the NFL.
Well, an individual player by championship. That doesn't mean that he wasn't a good pick or wasn't a good player.
In the forming of a team, you look at who they built around and whether that can give them a championship. I think it's – I don't think a player's career –
So you think Reggie couldn't build a championship team around Barry Sanders?
No, I think you could. But
so it falls
Sanders
not upon
on,
Barry Sanders, but
Barry
the GM who picks
on,
the other guys around
him. I think the email is point is if you're going to pick Barry Sanders or you're going to pick Reggie Bush, you got to give him the tools to succeed or else.
And Mario Williams will never win anything if he has a bad team around him.
Exactly.
Regardless of how good he is. So if the guy knows what he's doing, he's going to build a good team.
That's my point. You judge individuals
but
by
maybe he doesn't think the Texans are a good team. Period.
That may be true, but why would that mean you have to, shouldn't you just take the best player?
So because we're not good, we won't take the best player.
That'll
show you're not good.
I'm not sure he's questioning what the Texans did. I don't think that's his point. I think his point is even
the
best player
what
wasted
the Texans did.
On a bad team.
He's defending what the Texans did because right. You can't win a championship around a guy like Reggie Bush because he's like Barry Sanders and he couldn't win a championship. And I'm disagreeing with that.
Okay.
I think, for example, if Barry Sanders was on Tom's Cowboys teams of the 90s, he'd have won at least as many championships as Emmitt Smith did. And that doesn't take anything away from Emmitt Smith. They're both great running backs,
Marshall Faulk has a Super Bowl ring. He's been to two Super Bowls. I mean, it's like you guys said, it depends
so much
how,
has to do with circumstance.
So many things go into winning a championship. I'll tell you what, if the Texans find Tom Brady somewhere, they're going to win the championship, whether they have Mario Williams or Reggie
Bush.
Well,
the perfect example is John Elway. He could have gone to the Colts and done nothing, but he made the smart move and went with
and
the Broncos.
Did nothing until they
and
did
ended
what?
Up with two.
Until
he was a crybaby pump.
Until they got a running back.
Until they surrounded him with talent.
There you go.
Right, but he's still pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
Before they surrounded him with talent.
But he was smart.
In
my opinion,
his career
didn't
get any better.
He was a baby.
He
was a baby.
His opinion didn't get any better.
He's a baby.
My opinion of him didn't increase in those last 2 years.
Why, you didn't think he was good?
I thought he was great.
I thought he was great before that.
Okay.
Still a baby and a punk.
Well, come on now.
I don't like people. You get drafted, you go to that place.
That's all right. About Andy. I don't like people.
All right, that's going to do it for this edition of PFW in Progress. Remember, Patriots.com throughout the week. We got another issue coming out. When? Next week? A couple weeks.
And that last guy shouldn't read it because there will
be a Bethel Johnson feature. He may or may not be interested in.
We have nothing to write about at this time.
And Doug is still at the mic.
To please everybody and try to show that you can do this. That and I went through a lot of that in my career. I felt that in Buffalo. Probably never. I've seen the coaching job. I don't like it. I've seen the hours Bill Belichick puts in. And